Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table. We dance where we're able. We do routines to call the scenes to bookwork in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table. Our shows are more mid-table. So many times we give and rhymes that are quite unsingable. We're rock and mad in Camelot. We sing from the diaphragm.
I have to push the pram a lot.
Well, on second thought, let's not go to Camelot.
Ma'am, sorry.
It is a silly place.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma, which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
Well, that's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings.
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
I mean, if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help, help, I'm being repressed,
bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Travelers,
everybody, you may think it's some sort of joke, but we got global warming falling all around me in my neighborhood. There's white stuff everywhere. I'll tell you what, man. If you think that that global warming isn't working, or if you're getting even concerned about it, you need to go watch my video called How to Properly Panic During Global Warming. That'll sort you out. Alright, so it's cold here, and you're listening to the Knights of the Round Table at www.shazizradio.com. If you want to join in on the chat, jump over there to the superchat.html. Also, while you're over there, because we also go over People for People Radio Network, there's a radio banner link down there that says People for People. If you scroll down on the Super Chat, you can go over and visit those wonderful folks as well. So, you know, I'm saying that there's people in this world that quite literally are flirting with disaster, and that's why I played that Molly Hatchet song, Flirting with Disaster. I love that tune. It's kind of cool. But nonetheless, this is a serious situation that's going on, and I'm watching trends not just between, what's going on over here in the U.S., but also in Canada, because it seems like there's this thing called Agenda 2030 that, for a while it was like a rabbit hole. It was in a conspiracy world where people was talking about the one world government and their implementation. I couldn't even get those words out. It's that global warming. It'll do that to you. Anyway, so to be serious about the whole thing, for years we've been talking about all kinds of different things back behind the scenes. We talk about some tough subjects here on the Knights of the Round Table. But the thing is, we're not here trying to fear-monger you. We're not trying to be alarmist. But just like old Paul Revere running up there to tell everybody the British was coming, I think the actual history of that, he never even made it there. But nonetheless, I didn't write the history books. But either way, that concept, warning people, you got things coming down the pipe that probably aren't very good for society, so to speak. So, here in the United States, over in Virginia, they got some people that are trying to pass some pretty heavy-duty gun bans and stuff like that. And the scary portion about this whole deal is because I keep my ear to the grindstone, so to speak, or whatever, my nose to the grindstone. I'm listening in on things that not only in my neighborhood but around. I get around, I hear things. But you got groups of militias already gathering up, ready to go to Virginia. You've got the governor of Virginia saying openly that if this passes into law, that they will, if necessary, send the doggone National Guard in to do the job that the police officers, some of the sheriffs and the police officers would say that they're not going to uphold these. There's sanctuary, Second Amendment sanctuary counties popping up everywhere over there now. And so right now you're looking at a potential firework that could go off with just the smallest spark. Now, I've been saying this for a long time, folks. United States, it will not survive a second civil war. We did a video, radio show called Slapping the Bee's Nest, where essentially, that's what they were doing. They were slapping the bee's nest. They were testing the waters to see what they could get by with when it comes to the American people. How passive will the American people be? Well, I can tell you for a fact that the American people have been really, really extremely patient to this point. But if you decide to go around and you start doing gun confiscations, gun bans, and all this kind of stuff, you're going to find that American people are a different breed these days. It's not like the old days. And I'm really concerned. I'm really concerned with the situation because I keep my eyes and ears open. I listen to what's going on. I listen to what's happening on mainstream media. I listen how these folks, try to demonize one another. I listen to all this stuff about the impeachment. They're trying to kick out old Donald Trump there. And that's another key point right there that could be a sparking point because he was duly elected. And, you also hearing things about election fraud as well, whether it be, a foreign government's involved in the election or whether it be one party or the other. you know, involved in election fraud. I'm telling you, I ain't never seen a time when the American people were under near the amount of stress that they are right now. They have, for a long time, done everything that they could possibly do to pit you and your brothers and sisters against one another. Everything from racial party lines. There's a war on drugs. There's a war on people. There's a war on men, a war on women, a war on just about everything. There's a war on just about all over the doggone globe, or flat plane, whatever you think it is. It doesn't matter to me. It doesn't matter what shape the world is. It's what shape the world is in right now. These folks are getting by with things that you and I would be so far underneath the jail that we'd be speaking a foreign language. We wouldn't get by with a fraction of what our supposed leadership. Folks, here in the United States, we are a representative republic. Now, remember that. We are a representative republic. We are not and have never been a democracy. And so when you hear your supposed leaders out there claiming that we got to protect our democracy, you should be seriously concerned. When you see law enforcement literally laughing in the faces of those who quote the Constitution and their rights, they swore an oath to uphold that Constitution, just like your leadership swore an oath to uphold the Constitution. Now, I don't know how it goes over there in Canada as far as, you know, parliament and constitutional rights and all that kind of stuff, but I'm going to tell you right here in America that the U.S. citizen, once you've tasted freedom, you're not going to go down without a fight. And this is what's concerning me, is because these folks are basically trying to test the waters. They're trying to literally get the people mad. And you can see it in protests, mostly on college campuses, because what they teach in college today must be some sort of, some crazy stuff out of, George Orwell's 1984 or the other book we always talk about. Because these kids, they have no concept of reality. And if they think they're going to get what it is that they want, by the time they say, there's a saying that you need to watch what you wish for, because you might not like it when you do finally get it. And when it comes down to all these rights that they're, you know, they putting the gay rights thing on you, don't get me wrong, I'm not against anybody's lifestyle. It's your choice. It's your life. You do what you're going to do. Just don't try to force it on me. You know, I got my own personal life. I got my own personal spiritual journey that I follow. So I'm not trying to force mine on you, vice versa. But that's the way it's supposed to be. That's what freedom's all about. But when you start to see things like what happened during the Obama administration, where they take the people's house and they put the gay pride flag projected up on the people's house, right in the faces of everyone else out there. That's supposed to be a neutral spot. That's supposed to be the people's house. It's supposed to be, you know, not biased to one side or the other. It was supposed to be there to represent the people. But that's just one tiny little example. And understandably, when people see that, they're going to get angry about that. And when you're constantly called a racist, a homophobe, a xenophobe, a bigot, or whatever, you know, a white supremacist, and you're constantly being told that, you're going to start to get frustrated after a while. Being accused of something that you're not doing. I'm not a racist. I don't hate people because of their color. I don't hate people because of their religion. I don't hate people because of their lack thereof. But it's being aimed at me as a white male. It's just like it's being aimed at the others, you know, races that we talk about all the time. It's an intentional way in order to seriously pit you against somebody else. You people these days can get mad over a color of a hat. A red hat is enough to trigger somebody these days. Now, if you don't think that that's concerning, now let's go back to the Virginia thing. You've got people out there who already believe that the one world government is trying to take over their life and their deal. You got the Agenda 21. If you ever go look into that and you find out all these things that they call sustainable development, they got nice pretty little words that they tack onto it in order to, make it sound good. You know, we're here to save the children. We're here to save the environment. But their method that they're going about it means that they're going to take away freedoms. They're going to take away, you know, everything that they can, and you will be under the thumb of the government. That's not how it's supposed to be here in the United States. By the people, for the people, of the people, the government works for us. They are our employees. Our taxes being misused, our military being misused, our children being indoctrinated, and when you see all this, and you hear guys like me talking, and you hear your average Joe out there in the street talking, and you're hearing a whole different tone of voice where they're fed up. They don't trust their media. They don't trust their government. And in a lot of cases, they don't trust one another. We're reaching a dangerous spot right here. And so I'm throwing out the warning flag. I'm throwing out the deal. Says, hold on, everybody. Catch your breath and let's take a peek. And let's look around and see what's going on. If you're not aware that there's even anything going on, how can you stand up against it? If this is allowed to go through Virginia and people stand idly by and basically let these government officials violate the Constitution, then that will set a precedence all the way through all the other states as well. But I'm telling you, it's not going to happen like that. I'm telling you that if they keep pushing it, they went beyond slapping the bee's nest. The bees are already out. They're angry, and somebody's going to get stung. It's only a matter of time if they keep going down the road that they're going. I'm hearing stories of militias heading that way, and they're going to be down there in about a month from now during this one particular day. They're all talking about rallying up, and they're going down there as a show of force. And of course, you know, the government's going to have to, you know, show their force. If anything goes right, we've seen this before. We've seen it during the Bundy Ranch thing. We've seen it during the standoffs. There's been multiple ones. I don't even need to go into them. If you're interested, look up all these different things that's happened, you know, from Ruby Ridge to Waco to whatever. You know, we've been under it for a while. Ever since 9/11 and all the TSA groping everybody and their children in the airport, every time you turn around, your rights are getting thinner and thinner and thinner, and people are getting more angry. You have the U.S. police departments, and worldwide, if you actually kind of take a peek out there at the law enforcement around the world, they look militarized. They look like they're ready for combat. Who are they at war with? They're at war with the people. That's who they're at war with. But nonetheless, if you go back and look through history, there were another group of individuals who dressed just like those individuals. And it isn't this serve and protect like it used to be. It's now they have become armed revenue generators for the state, which is really frustrating because I used to have a lot of respect for law enforcement. But as time goes by and you see people with the mindset, oh, I was just doing my job. Well, we heard that in history before. We're hearing it again. And when you talk to a law enforcement officer because he's done something that you feel your rights are being violated, and you quote your Constitution to him that he swore an oath to uphold, and you're reminding him that you have those rights, and he laughs in your face, there's cause for concern. And what's going on out here, not just here in the United States, but what's going on in Canada, I watched a video today about the People Party, what's the name of that doggone deal again? People's Party of Canada. I don't know much about these, but when I was listening to this lady talk, I could feel her concern about how this UN Agenda 21 and UN Agenda 2030 was going down, and the things that they were trying to do to people. You know, messing with private property rights isn't going to go over well here in the United States. Going around confiscating people's guns and making felons out of people, law-abiding citizens that are already told by the mainstream media, it's dangerous out there. You need to be able to defend yourself. Thank God there's constitutional sheriffs out there that are standing for the people. Thank God there's law enforcement that are standing for the people. Thank God in the military there are military people that are standing for the people. But if there ever comes a day where that divide finally widens up enough and it only takes one shot, one shot. The shot heard around the world, and we end up in a second civil war. I'm telling you right now, you can mark my words, you can take it to the bank. The United States of America will not survive a second civil war. It will not. And it will spill over into Canada, it will spill over into Mexico, and then eventually it will spill over worldwide. This world will not be the same. As much as this might sound, like I'm bragging up my country, I'm telling you this right now. America is by far the last beacon of freedom. If you check our rights against your rights from all the different nations, and you see what we have the right to do, some places you can't even talk. You can't even say certain words, or you can be charged criminally. Here in the United States, so far, we're still, we got rights here. And people want to come here. And when they get here and they start realizing, hey, wait a second, things ain't like they were portrayed. It's not, the grass ain't as such greener over there. Because they start finding out the realities of what our government has been doing to us. And in some cases, what we've been doing to one another. We've got to get our act together, folks. I'm throwing a red flag down here. I'm trying to reach out and I'm trying to touch the hearts and minds of the many and tell you, you need to keep your eyes and ears open. You need to start educating your neighbors and your family and talking to each other, and you need to find a way to do it in a peaceful manner so as which that when they expect us to act one way, they're going to get a shock and they're going to get a surprise when we don't respond the way that they pushed our buttons to do. They want us to fight. We don't need to fight. And we don't need a second civil war. We don't need another war. We don't need any wars, period. But that's just me. I may be crazy. So with that said, I'm taking up too much time. Hey, Duke, Barbara, how you doing?
Hey. Hey, everybody. It's good. I'm good to be here today again, and glad Duke is with us. And before I start talking, maybe Duke wants to say hello.
You got your microphone muted, Duke.
Skype. Okay, now I'm back. You guys can hear me on Skype. Sorry, I muted Skype and I muted my show and then turned my show back on and forgot to turn Skype on. Go ahead, Barb. People have been listening to me on my broadcast before we started the radio show. So.
Oh, good. Okay.
Actually, why don't you tell my audience where they can find you? Because you've been doing this for so long, and I know you have several platforms that you put your shows out on. So why don't you tell to my audience? Tell my audience where they can find you.
And I appreciate that very much. Pretty much I'm into right now on peopleforpeople.ning.com, which is we're simulcasting right there now on that People for People link. I have a show called Turtle and Crow Show, which my sister Patty Walkin' Turtle and me have a show every Monday, and then I have a show on Tuesday. Over many years I've been on different radio connections, which is good, and never in my wildest dreams did I ever think I'd be talking like I'm talking, but you know, building up over years, I just had a 77th birthday, so that'll give you an idea of how long I've been around and what I've been noticing and what I've been researching and discovering and awakening to. I always had kind of an instinct about something isn't quite right, you know, this little instinct that would pop up and say, no, that's not right, there's something fishy going on here. And I come to realize that there is a hidden government. I used to call it a hidden government, but actually it's now we know it's a deep state. And it's not just here in our country. It's all over the world, and they're all connected. This is not an isolated incident. This is a connected cabal or elite, whatever you want to call it. That's what we're dealing with. And I realize they don't have our best interest at heart. They're a club. And you aren't in that club. I'm not in that club. You know, that's why we call ourselves the people. We're the people. And we're all connected and related. Over there, you guys across the border, speaking of borders, a long time ago there were never borders. You know, our people here, our Indian people, our relatives walked to these lands from this Turtle Island, Well, you guys up there in Canada, you're part of Turtle Island. There were no borders. No. So here we are today, right? I just wanted to say about, we're all dealing with the same thing. I don't care who you are, where you live in this world, what you're siding with, or what your race is, what your religion is, it does not matter. We are all dealing with these elite power players who have an agenda, and the agenda is a sick, dark, evil one. And so we're in sort of a battle here, a war. It's not only a war, a spiritual battle, it's basically a battle for our souls. I said that last week, and I know you jumped around for joy with that, Duke, because that's what we're dealing with, you know. So I'm just saying, what's going on here is worldwide. We are in this all together. They want us fighting. They want us hating each other. They want us separated. They want us divided, and that way they can control us better, and we do their bidding for them. I'm going to say we were never free from the monarchy. You know, we had a revolution here. That first revolution was a big lie, because those that were embedded in this Turtle Island here in the beginning, basically they never packed up their bags and went home with their tail between their legs. They just stepped behind the curtain.
And they went underground.
Underground, and they were the cabal and the elite and the money mongers, and there they are, still in existence. So we are not a free country. You know, we thought we were, but I came to realize, wait a second, we are not. We are this whole government and all the governments are really corrupt. So I just wanted to say this one piece here. So we are looking at a problem. The problem is created by them. They watch our reaction, okay? And they watch the people's reaction. And then they're going to give us the solution. And the solution is not to our advantage. But we will bow down to them, because the problem that they have created is so huge and terrifying deliberately that we will finally say, whatever you want, whatever you want us to do, we will do it. And this is where we will finally head out to the brave new world.
There you go. That's the plan. But I'm telling you right now, they are literally, quite literally, flirting with disaster, you know. If you're really good at chess, or even checkers for that matter, and you can really, you're really overconfident and you think you're going to always win, you might find out that one day the right person is going to step up and you're going down. I mean, I use that analogy because they're playing a game of chess with us, and we're the pawns. It's us on the battlefield. It's not them. And we're sitting there, we're not just on a battlefield, you know, overseas or whatever. We're in the battlefield right here in the heart of the war zone, which is supposedly our country. We got people fighting amongst each other, arguing constantly, getting triggered over a color of a hat and so much more. We've got them forcing, indoctrination on our children to the extent where if you decide you want to homeschool, you could actually get yourself jailed and your children taken away from you for not complying with the government regulations there. They talk about separation of church and state all the time, but if you look into it, you'll find out the government has its hand in the church, and the church has its hand in the government, vice versa. So they're intertwined. No, look, I'm just pointing all this stuff out because if you ain't stepping back and you're not looking at the big picture, something's not right. I mean, if you haven't figured out something's not right by now, then you obviously are distracted by Pokemon Go and Nintendo or whatever else those doggone games the kids are playing these days, or the shiny things that you can get at the store. They put on there, they tell the little girl that if she looks like this, then she ain't going to be accepted. She got to wear this clothes right here. You can see it in the doggone cartoons these days. The deterioration of morality is mind-blowing. Paul Harvey said it back in 1965. If you haven't heard that, you need to hear that speech. That was pretty doggone insightful for him to say that in 1965, and we're living it today. The Brave New World and the George Orwell's 1984 I mean, we're like literally seeing it come into play. And we were called conspiracy nuts. We're the ones pointing out the threat.
It's not coming. It's not coming into play.
Oh, it's here.
We are in this. We are in it.
You can't go anywhere without a camera in your face. You.
9/11 was the bell starting the second half of the game.
Yep.
Halftime show is over. The buzzer went off on 9/11, and that was the second half of the final game in either the Stanley Cup or the Super Bowl. I don't care what analogy you want to put it to, but we are in the final phases of the last of a best of seven series. And guess what? We're down.
Oh, yeah. We need to get in it and be in it to win it, because I keep on saying this about America. I understand America's not the by far the best place in the world, but as far as rights, and if you put the rights on a scale, our rights outweigh the majority of other people's rights around the world as far as what we believe our freedom is. But the problem is, it's constantly being depleted.
Well, that's it. I was just going to say that. So we could say that right now, but trust me, that's the reason why things are ramping up here in the United States, because we are sort of like, if you want to say maybe the last little thread, but they're chipping away. And yes, you're right, Duke, 9/11 started the whole thing. That was the beginning of the major surveillance, and also the war on terrorism, which took a lot of our rights away. And our constitutional rights. That was the beginning, the chipping away. And everybody bowed down to it because they created the problem then, didn't they? 9/11 was the biggest problem this country had seen, and I don't know when. That was the deliberate, that they set that up. They created the problem, and everybody went hysterical, freaked out, and were falling down on their face. And then they came up with a solution. Well, here's the solution. We need a war on terrorism, because we don't ever want that to happen again. And then we're going to go to war over there because there's weapons of mass destruction. And we're going to put up the surveillance system because you will be safe then. And everybody said, oh, yes, 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 do that. We'll comply. We'll do that. Yes. Now, there were no weapons of mass destruction. I knew that. Again, that was my little instinct, my little truth meter went, you know, the bell went off. Ding, 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 ding. No, there are no weapons of mass destruction. Well, I got a lot of flack for saying that to people. I got attacked for saying that. Now we know that when we speak like this, people who are dumbed down or brainwashed or, you know, stuck in that system, the mind control system, they can't comprehend what you're talking about, because they believe and trust in their government, you know. And it's time that we realize that these people have an agenda. Once you get in that door, you may be a good person. You may run for a position because you're compassionate about making changes, and you're a good person, and you have your wife and your kids, and you go to church and all that stuff. You eat, you know, ice cream on Saturday and so on. Well, guess what? Once you enter into that door, once you go through that door, they take you in through another door. It's like a back room that's hidden somewhere, and they sit you down and they say, yeah, okay, you're here, but guess what? We own you. We control you. And this is what you're going to do from now on. And you'll get lots of money, by the way.
Yeah, that's a funny thing. You see congressmen, if they weren't rich when they got there, they seem to be pretty well off when they leave. So, you know, what good is
that? That's why they don't want to lose their position. And they don't work for us. They work for their cabal. They work for the ones in that hidden room.
They work for the lust of the evil of wealth.
Yep.
That's what they
I'll
work
add to
for,
that.
Barbara.
They work for the lust of evil, period.
Yes, and it manifests itself to them as huge bank accounts.
And a bunch of other stuff that I don't know if you want to talk about. But
Well, I want to just sort of reach back and touch on a couple of things that got mentioned. First of all, Barbara, you are absolutely right in three words that you chose to describe what's happening. It's sick, it's dark, and it's evil.
Yeah.
Here's something for people to think about when people like Barbara and Shaziz and I use words like gone underground. if, and I put a big capital letter IF, if indeed Hitler did escape to South America, Argentina, what's to stop you from accepting even just the possibility that he sat back like a puppet master and quietly orchestrated all the things he wanted to do inside the Third Reich through a clandestine, don't look behind the curtain, just ignore the wizard back there sort of movement to implement his extreme socialism worldwide, to mm-hmm. do what he started in 1939, only without guns. Yeah. He realized the pen is mightier than the sword. And Barbara, you also commented about how people are willing to give up so much in order to accept this false sense of security. And that took me right back to the words of Abraham Lincoln, who said, any man willing to give up freedom for security deserves neither.
Yeah.
And to bring us back full circle, I've been watching very closely, and I actually have friends with a hunting camp down in West Virginia. Not only is Virginia forming militias and declaring Second Amendment sanctuary counties, it's happening in West Virginia. It's just not as loud and vocal and noticeable.
Well,
this is the beginning of World War III. It's not going to be an American Civil War. We're seeing it starting in mainland China, in Hong Kong. It's happening in Japan. It's happening all through Europe, South America, in Chile. The citizens burned down the national headquarters of their National Hydroelectric Commission. They burned the office tower to the ground in Santiago, Chile.
Wow.
To think that the United States or Canada is immune to what's going on around the world is foolish. To ignore the fact that what we saw historically in Europe in two world wars is now taking that European World War theater and expanding it around the world, you're either blind or willfully ignorant.
Yeah, well, let me clarify something here to the listeners, is about what you're talking about is being handled behind the scenes, like puppet masters they are, by the cabal, the elite, that are in alignment with the evil, you know, with something so evil and dark. Because the research that I have done, and I'm sure you guys have done, leads us down into this rabbit hole that is will make you vomit. It's so vile what these people are involved in. And I'm not talking about on the surface. You don't want to know what they're involved in. But this is something, that's why we keep using this word evil. And so we have this group of people that are manipulating this throughout the whole world. To get people riled up, yes, because they need us to be fighting each other. They need us basically, pitted against each other and confused. And being able, when you're confused, you're easily manipulated. When you are reactive and emotional, you are easily manipulated. So we have all this stuff going on, and I'm talking about Hitler. You know about the paperclip, right? Paperclip basically had brought a lot of Hitler's people to this country, a lot of scientists to this country. Nobody knew they were bringing them over here, but they were put into, you know, to our different scientific systems here. And do you think those people changed? Like, oh, we're now in America, we're going to be good, kind people, loving people, we're going to put aside our prejudices, our hatred, our...
A zebra doesn't change its stripes.
No. So we have... Plus, now we know that many of the high mucky-muck people here in the United States actually supported financially and other ways financially, supported Hitler, supported what he was doing. These were people like the Rockefellers and the Rothschilds and other people who actually fed money to Hitler. These were people in our system here in the United States. So I'm just looking at, if you think, if you're so naive to think that what we're talking about can't possibly be happening, maybe you need to do some research yourself. And I'm going to say, the mainstream media, I don't know how it is up there, Duke, but we know the mainstream media is owned by certain elite people. There's just a few, maybe about 22 persons who are biased elite who own these medias.
Well, I want to throw something else on the table there. Like I said, I'm not anti-government. I'm not advocating violence. I'm anti-corruption, and I want everybody peace and love and all get along. But if you can't see what is going on as far as when you cram two cultures, you force two cultures together that don't mesh, you're obviously going to have problems. There's a culture that, you know, everybody says that we got to be nice to, you know, after a certain event that happened that, you know, literally says that one day that the flag will fly over the White House. Their flag will fly over our White House. Now, for somebody like me as a patriot, of course, I'm not going to say, yeah, that's cool. And when you have other people...
Because we have to be nice. Yeah. We have to be tolerant of others' ways. And I am, you know, I am a tolerant person. And so, I don't hate anyone, but you have to also be wise. You have to also use your...
Let me finish this point. There's
a reason you don't reach out and pet a rattlesnake.
Let me finish this point. And you got other people coming from other nations out there. When you come to America as an immigrant, that's immigration. But when you come to America carrying your flag from your country, that's no longer immigration, that's invasion. All right? And it's not just happening here. It's happening over, you know, overseas in the UK and all over the different places in Canada. These folks are doing things in our communities that they're not supposed to be doing. They're not coming here to be a part of something. They're coming here to change something. And they said that a long time ago. They said they were going to do that. But here's the thing. The mainstream media out there and the government telling you got to be nice to these people. Otherwise, you're a racist. Otherwise, you know, you're a hate monger. You use hate speech and so on down the line. And they know, they had to have known before they opened those gates that these two cultures were not going to mesh smoothly. I can understand incrementally somebody comes over from different nations. We're like the great melting pot. I get that. But when you got, basically fighting aged men coming over by the droves from different areas, that
and setting up gang rape gangs.
There you go.
Setting up rape gangs.
That opens up a red flag for those out there. It's not because of the color of this person's skin or their religion why we're getting concerned. It's the fact of how these folks are coming in and talking about how they're gonna put this specific type of law into play, you know, in your country where you're supposedly have a constitution. How many of these feminists out there, how many of the gay rights advocates are going to want to follow that law? And do you think that they're going to say, oh, no, you're all right, you can be gay here? No. You go look in their own country where they came from and see how they treat those people who might be Christian or Buddhist or something other than, you know, what theirs is. And then you take in and think if they're going to do that over there, if they're going to abuse women over there, if they're going to behead people over there, what are they going to try to do when they get here? There's a difference, though, here in the United States, like the one Chinese or Japanese general, I can't remember, Asian guy, said that the only reason why they hadn't done a land invasion on the U.S. is because behind every blade of grass is a gun. You start chopping off heads over here, and you got problems.
That's the whole key right there, and they're chipping away, like in Virginia, like you see in other places, chipping away at our rights to bear arms. There's a reason for that. The government we are in a tyrannical government right now. And I'm not saying that that's Trump. I'm saying that's the deep state that he's actually trying to take down, and they're pushing everything they could possibly come up with and more, basically, to turn people against him and blind people. So you have they're creating these problems. Like, we have red flags left and right. People are shooting each other in the streets, and right away, as soon as something goes down where shooters are active, they start with pushing the gun laws. Okay?
That's it. They got to disarm the world, the people of the world, so that their agenda can go through smoothly. Otherwise, you've got the whole utter chaos that you're going to have to contend with, and they're not going to fare so well during those times if they're part of the elite, and that's a fact. So they need to take that Second Amendment. That is a must, and if they can do it in Virginia, they'll work their way down the line.
Yeah, so the problem they're creating, we see it more and more ramping up, because they're really, now they're very nervous, because they know that they're up against someone. They're up against the people awakening here. A lot of people are awakening up, and they're doing their best to take down those sites, like you were talking about, the amount of people that you have coming into your sites. Well, they're manipulating that now. They're doing that here, too. So, and then, of course, you're a conspiracy nutcase, or conspiracy wackadoodle, and you're the one that's fueling terrorists who are going out there shooting people. You know, this is all a plan. It's a crazy plan, but it's real. And you know, when you talk like this, sometimes I feel like this is a movie. We're living in an insane movie.
Oh yeah.
But it's real.
Yeah, the movie is called 1984. It was written by George Orwell.
Yeah, and heading us towards the Brave New World. This is unfolding. You don't want to go to that place, the Brave New World. You ought to watch that movie. Have you watched that movie, Duke?
The Brave New World? Yes.
Yeah.
So, thought crimes and all that. But
I'll tell you what, you guys asked what the media is like up here in Canada.
Yeah.
Our federal government, just over a year ago, paid $600 million to be divided between the mass media outlets here in Canada. Let's not forget, when we talk about mass media, in our lifetime, I'm 59 years old, in the 50 years, the half century that I've been on this planet, North America, never mind the rest of the world, just Canada and the United States, North America has gone from over 140 plus independent media outlets to six giant worldwide conglomerates that control the media all around the world. Six big companies control the media, ladies and gentlemen, all around the world.
Well, here's one of the points that I like to make about that same exact media. That same exact media is out there talking about how we're tinfoil hat wearing conspiracies, but they're the ones that got that prepper to go out there and start collecting stuff. They're the ones that said that everybody was getting shot up. They're the ones that said their kids were in danger. They're the ones talking about climate change and global warming and 12 years from now we're all doomed and the stuff like that. So you talk to all these people who are either on psychotropic drugs for mental illnesses or medicines or even illicit drugs or alcohol, you start putting that kind of information in their mind and you don't expect them to get paranoid, you don't expect them to react and try to protect their family. So now you got that mindset all over the United States in different stages. And you're going to sit there and tell them you're going to come around and take their only means of defense. You better think again, because you're really seriously flirting with disaster.
Yeah, you know what they were in Hong Kong? You know what the people were fighting with? Pitchforks and slingshots. Think about that.
My God.
There
was pictures of students in Hong Kong and in Kowloon on the mainland. This isn't just like we have to appreciate the fact that Hong Kong only recently in the last 20 years became property of China again. Up until 1999, it was under a 100-year lease to England. So in the public mentality, Hong Kong has a slightly different social perspective of things than mainland China, where they've had generations of societal control. Yep. There was a little more society freedom in Hong Kong, but we're seeing the same uprisings in Hong Kong, moving on to the mainland, you're seeing this we the people mentality being exposed in a non-we the people society.
Yep.
And that's a significant move. It really is. My, when you think about it.
My advice to the people of every nation out there, including Hong Kong, is that you need to stand with each other. You need to not react the way that they expect you to react whenever they pull these shenanigans on you. Because that whole deal, if you look at 9/11, you look at the Patriot Act, the National Defense Authorization Act, you look at how TSA has been put into place, you look at the
surveillance
and all this kind of stuff, they were already a step ahead of the game because they knew they were getting ready to do something dirty to you. And so you need to realize
Yeah, the plan was set, and then they had the plan, and they created the reaction, and then they had the solution. That's it. Boom, boom, boom. There you go. 1, 2, 3. It's hard to wrap your mind around the extensive controlling factor here. It's really hard to actually accept that this has been incrementally happening here for millennia. It's not a new thing. This is little incremental changes, little incremental shifts that they make that nobody pays attention to, you know, to basically keep herding us into this, you know, into this timeline, this one world government, you know, this new world order. And this plan has been happening for a long time. This is nothing new. And when you start to see it, and now it's all over the world, we see in Chile, we saw what happened to Greece, Venezuela, Chile, Hong Kong. We see all these countries, you know, with people out in the streets fighting their government. And people in the Hong Kong were out there in the streets waving American flags and singing the national anthem of the United States and asking Trump to come and help them. You know, this is like unprecedented what's really going on. So I just want to read this little piece here because of getting back to the sustainable development, which all sounds good. This is why we have to be very careful.
Well, you see how well it's being accepted by, like, those people you just mentioned in Venezuela. You see how well it's being received over there, how well it's worked for them.
It shows. Right. Well, exactly. So when you say, the problem is, let's say they created the problem. It's called global warming. Okay. And they're terrifying everybody about the end of the earth and so on and so forth and the dying of this and the dying of that. So everybody, the reaction is freaking out and terror, being terrified. Well, the solution is basically Agenda 2130, which is under the umbrella of sustainable development. Well, sustainable is a good word. We want to sustain, you know, the world. We want to sustain the forest. We want to sustain the water. We want to make everything all good. So sustainable development is the Agenda 2130 the UN has set up. This is a tactic that is basically keeping you blinded by what is really going on. And I found this interesting piece here about apparently up there in Canada, there was this guy called Maurice Strong, who I guess is recently deceased, Canadian billionaire, but he was a longtime UN environmental guru. He led the 1992 Earth Summit. In a pre-Earth Summit document, here's what he said. It is clear that current lifestyles and consumption patterns of the affluent middle class involving high meat intake, consumption of large amounts of frozen and convenience foods, ownership of motor vehicles, numerous electrical appliances, home and workplace air conditioning, expensive suburban houses are not sustainable. So they're talking about lifestyles and consumption patterns, okay, and they're going to fix it because we want to save the world. Don't you want to save the world? Don't you want to save the earth?
Yeah, but so not the way that they want to.
No, but they're making it look like it's good because they're saying there's too many people.
Yeah.
But they're saying there's too many people and there's not enough resources.
Georgia Guidestones, that ought to be a warning flag. Just the mere fact that somebody even thought enough of that to put on a doggone big old monument or whatever. But if you look at the numbers as opposed to the population, a whole lot of people got to go. And that's probably partially your family, maybe all your family, that is necessary to, you know, basically do themselves in or whatever, or get done in. That's creepy in itself. But these folks, they, for some reason, the ends justify the means, and they don't care how they get to their ultimate goal. But you can see, if you paid attention, incrementally, they've been doing this for a long time. And hopefully the people listening to this show right here, you know, you as an individual is important. Because how you react, you could be that one spark necessary. If you're up in Virginia and you're ticked off about this whole deal, my goal isn't to inspire you or incite you to do something stupid. My goal is to incite you and inspire you to do something smart, intelligent. If you're going to play this game with this global cabal or elitist, one world crew or whatever they think they are, you got to be smarter than them. You got to be better at the chess game. You got to be better checkers than they are, because if you're not, they're going to sneak up on you. And they've already got their plan in place. I guarantee you they got their bunkers.
It's important to not be fooled by the publicity, by the way they put everything. Their words have hidden agenda behind them. That's why I keep pushing this, because it all sounds good.
Yep.
You know, when you have people shooting out there, so we could do a whole show. We have done a show on these shooters, okay, now. There's the systematic red flags that happen where somebody goes berserk and they go out there and they shoot some people, which is, you know, okay. I'm not saying that that's cool or good. What I'm saying is we've done research on this and we see that there's something behind this. So these people, basically, the majority of people, there was a study done on, for years, study done on the people who turn out to be these shooters. So most of them are on medical drugs, medicine, okay, for depression or whatever. Most of them have their story is they're a loner, they're outside of the norm, they're isolated, they pay attention and really like, video games that are violent and brutal. They've collected a lot of, guns or videos or whatever. There's a whole series that identify this type of person who becomes a shooter. They fall between the cracks. Maybe they fall deliberately or they're pushed deliberately through the cracks, but then they go out and they go berserk and they shoot up people and then they start their push for the gun amendments. This is the whole plan. But all these shooters, the majority of them, are on drugs for depression. Okay? So that's one thing that is noted. But I'm talking about the language that is used by the cabal, the elite, to turn us in their favor. And this is really important because they're talking basically about this program, a worldwide program to make everything better. That's Agenda 2030, because there's too many people, because there's there's not enough resources, there's no there's no free energy, there's, you know, we're unsustainable as it is now. Now, we know differently, right, Chaz? I mean, there is free energy. There's always been free energy, but they've kept that from us.
Yep.
You know, there's natural medicines that heal cancer, but they've kept that from us because it's a big business. Cancer is a very big business, you know, but they've created the problem and they've seen the reaction of everybody, and now they're giving you the solution, you know? So we have deaths of homeopathic doctors here in the United States. I don't know how many it is up to now. Suicided or death by suicide or various weird things happening to the people here in this country. I don't know about up there in Canada what's going on. But this is what's happening here. So
The Ritalin, the Prozac, the Luvox, there's other drugs like that. If you really want to do the research and follow that back, you'll be surprised at where these drugs originated from originally and the patents involved in them. But I'm not going to go into all that. But the fact is, nowadays in society, instead of instead of paying attention to the child, if the child is a little ornery or can't sit still in school, they'll call them ADHD or whatever other
ADD, ADHD. This
yeah.
is a spiking diagnosis that has happened here in the last, I'm going to say, only about 20 years.
Maybe
a little bit more, but only 20 some years.
So they're medicating the children on masses.
They're medicating.
And the parents are complying with it. Because if you don't want your kid to have this medicine, they'll say, "Well, you're not a good parent. You're not taking care of your child." And then the state wants to step in like that. So these ought to be warning flags. I mean, they're going through your children to get to you. The gun-free zones at schools, they got these schools locked down like prisons. There was a study done a while back where they showed pictures of the public school and they showed pictures of a prison. And they asked these people, okay, which one's the prisons, which one's the school? And you'd be surprised how many of them said that the schools were the prisons. They got, you got to buzz in to get inside. You're on camera. There's cameras throughout the entire school. Metal detectors in some areas. So, everything that Paul Harvey mentioned back in 1965, you're actually seeing today. So, did he know something? I'm just asking because you're literally watching it play out before your very eyes. And the way that it has been demonized against homeschooling your children, if you don't agree with what they're trying to teach your kids in school, if you want your kid to have a real education, you decide to go ahead and homeschool, you'll find that in some areas they frown on that to the extent where they'll call the social services out on you. And so, if you think it's all flowers and butterflies here in the U.S., then you obviously haven't been paying attention, because the U.S. citizen's been under a lot of stress. And
I want to continue. I just have to keep talking about it. All sounds good, because this is how people get swayed and duped, okay, to believe in the goodness of this system. And we have to pay attention to this, because they are manipulative. This is a psychological warfare, people. Okay, so, and they've been working on us for a long time through media brainwashing, systematic brainwashing, mind control system, from the time we're small, and it's generations that I'm talking about. So I have to use these words here, because we're talking basically about this inequality. The issue of inequality they have created, okay, that's one of the plan, creating the plan, watching the reaction, and giving us the solution. Inequality. We all want everyone to be equal, treated equally, correct?
Yeah.
And so this is a good thing. We're good people. We want everyone to be treated equally, but they've set this system up so that we will be fighting for everyone's equality, but meanwhile, that's basically going to take down our rights. And this is, again, Agenda 2030. It's undisguised. It's a roadmap to global socialism and corporatism, fascism. So basically what it is, it's about, the agenda has set up to create this international socialism. It's needed to battle inequality in all countries. So, okay, here we are, inequality. Well, I want everyone to be treated equally. I do. So they knew that. They know we're good people. They know that we are like that. So now they're going to set this up. How are they going to create, quality, not inequality, between all of us? They've got their plan. And they're going to take away all of our rights to do that.
It's simple how they equate or implement equality.
Mm-hmm.
They simply think of your standards of living, the standards of your society, think of them as the bar on a high jump. And instead of making people coming to America stand up and cross that bar at the same height that all other Americans have had to cross historically, they've had to bring themselves to that level. Instead of making people do that, instead of saying, here's the opportunity to better yourself, socialism says, oh, we're just going to lower the standards and everybody can be a lazy, unaccountable, non-productive waste of oxygen. Why? Because we've taken the high jump bar and moved it from the 5'9" level down to the 2'6" level, so everybody can win and get a prize and a participation award. There's a reason there's a winner in the Super Bowl. There's a reason there's a winner in the Stanley Cup, because there's also a loser. Life doesn't give everybody a winning ticket in the lottery.
So what is sustainable development? It's population control.
Bingo! Okay.
It's central planning. It's global governments. Okay.
Barbara, every time you hear the word, people hear the word sustainable anything, it's control.
It's control.
That's what sustainable means. Replace the word sustainable with controllable.
Yeah, that's why I'm talking about this, because sustainable sounds good, but it's not because of this agenda. So here's what they're saying about our children, okay? This type of activist that the UN wants to make our children into is explicitly defined in their agreement. By 2030, will ensure that all learners, young people, acquire the knowledge and skills needed to promote sustainable development, including, among others, through education for sustainable development and sustainable lifestyles, human rights, gender equality, promotion of a culture of peace and nonviolence, global citizenship and appreciation for cultural diversity, and of cultural, basically, contribution to sustainable development. That's 2030, Agenda 20. Now, think of the words I'm using here. Human rights. We all want people to have human rights. We all want equality for everyone, right?
Well, I'm sickened.
Peace, right?
I'm sickened by the whole mess, is because it's the slave driver beating down the peasants, trying to tell you we're going to straighten you out, when in fact the ones actually causing the problem aren't under attack. It's we, the people, that are under attack. When those folks over there, and they call third world countries, and they want to have a decent lifestyle, you got companies and corporations and governments out there actively stealing their resources and fighting over where these gas pipelines are coming through there. And a guy like me sitting there talking about alternative energy solutions. If you want clean, renewable, sustainable, then why aren't we doing this? Why aren't we doing this? I'll tell you why we aren't doing it, because the big fat dollar, the yen, the ruble, or whatever money system you got over there, that is what rules the day. The gold and the silver. That it's not the person over there that's starving in the third world country, which I hate that terminology, or it's not the collateral damage over there in Iraq, Afghanistan, or other places out there in the Middle East. It's not those people. The people that are actually out there starting the problem are the ones telling us that we got to give up every bit of freedom we've got. We've got to give up our property. We got to give up everything so that everyone else can be equal. Well, why don't they take some of them weapons of war and salvage them for scrap, and then take that money over there and uplift those people? No, they're not going to do that.
No.
They're going to get your children to go out there and fight those people.
That's right. They've always done that. The kings and queens sit on the hill in the castle and tell the serfs, who are we, to go to war.
Yep.
Basically. And everybody steps up to the plate because, yes, they're patriots, and there they go.
There are six simple words that people can remember, and these six words will answer every question about who controls what. Six simple words. Money is might, and might is right.
That's it.
Whether it's wrong, because it's got money, it makes it right.
But just like that grasshopper told those ants, or told the other grasshoppers on there, Those ants outnumber us 100 to 1, and then when they realize that, our way of life is going to change. And that's what the same mindset, whoever did that show Bugs Life was brilliant, because that same mindset is what these people who are the supposed elitist of the world, they fear. They fear the people. They fear conversations like that. That's why the censorship on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, and all the other social media platforms that become so popular, that's why the censorship. Because when we have conversations like this, we put their lifestyle at jeopardy. And they don't like it.
Well, you ought to be nervous about this Agenda 2030, because China is spending $2 billion in foreign countries to meet the UN goals in education and health, and that's about our children. It's about our health and well-being in our generations. Okay, they're pushing this Agenda 2030 as well. That creeps me out, because we know what's going on in China with those people. Organ harvesting, prisons for against the people who have a different religion. You know, I mean, various other things. The surveillance system in China is mind-blowing. You know, it's so... I'm not going to talk any more about the Agenda 2030, but because I think that people should do their own research and have to pay attention to the hidden information, basically.
Well, we're all very like the frogs in the boiling pot, and they're gradually turning the heat up on us. And I believe that by the time this next election cycle goes around, that we're going to see some pretty crazy things. And so I'm just wanting people to prepare for that. I don't want people to be in fear, but I want them to not be naive either. I want them to walk in wisdom. And realize that there's somebody out there doing the Jerry Springer effect, is what I like to call it. They're over whispering in this guy's ear and telling that you said something, and they're whispering in your ear telling the other one that they said something. They want you to fight. Meanwhile, Snively Whiplash has got his arms so deep in the cookie jar, he's tickling the throat of somebody in a foreign nation on the other side. That's what's going on. And, you know, I can see it. You can see it. There's a lot of people that are beginning to see it. But all these people out there distracted with all the craziness, standing out there with a wooden stick and a paper sign claiming to be an environmentalist to save the trees. Y'all being ridiculous. You got to wake up, because what's going on, it's so much worse than your save the trees. I'm telling you, it's so much worse. And like
Go ahead, Bart, because I'm just trying to deviate off the path.
All right, because I'm thinking about I am thinking about the other side now. I'm thinking about what we are doing as people, as nations, the way we live, the way we consume, and a lot of this is, to me, was the problem created so that they could watch our reaction and then create this solution of sustainable development in 2030. So in Sweden, for instance, they're putting out a proposal to enshrine the rights of nature in their constitution. Again, this relates to reorganizing human society, Agenda 2030. It sounds good.
How can nature have rights?
Well, okay. Well, you want to talk about that? Because it is, in a way, it's like a stewardship. I feel a stewardship. This, if we don't come to understand or understand ourselves as stewards of this creation, this earth, then we're just trashing it.
Well, I agree with that, but the thing that needs to be pointed out here is that, you know, their method about getting to what we all agree on, we agree we need to take care of our environment and one another, but they're literally doing a soft kill genocide on the people of the world. You've got people who are so incredibly obese, you've got people who are being radiated, children in supposed hospitals being radiated, destroying their immune system, you got drugs with side effects that's longer than your arm, and they're worse than the doggone initial deal. So the medical industry has dropped the ball. The fuel industry already knew they dropped the ball years ago. They're just in it to make the doggone money. The governmental system, the lobbying system, all the way that everybody is basically greasing the palms of whoever's going to do them best as far as their vote or whatever. it's overwhelming to the people.
You have fluoride in the water. Okay, you have poisons and chemicals in our foods. You know, you have this, like you're saying, the medical system is killing us. You have chemtrails. You have all this stuff that basically GMOs. You have pesticides. You have all this stuff. I think is part of the plan to do away with, like, you know, the Georgia Guidestone says, the controlling the populations. They have all this in place.
Well, don't forget what Bill Gates said about vaccines.
And vaccines too.
He said, so, if we do a good job with vaccines, we can control the population. Hold on
he
a second.
Say that.
Those words came out of his mouth.
I saw them. I saw him speak that on a TED Talk. I did. And everybody in the audience clapped.
Yeah!
That's the scary thing. Everyone in that audience, hundreds of people clapped. Yeah.
Well, so that's because half of them wanted to be Monica Lewinsky.
And here's another thing. Here's another thing. I'm pro-life. Okay, you might as well get over it. I don't care what you think. Look, I understand if something bad happens to a lady.
Hey, I'm for life.
I get that. But we went from the day after pill to partial term abortion to late term abortion. Now, when you talk about late term abortion, you're talking about an actual baby at that point.
Yeah.
All right. Now, that ain't alarming.
No, this is a very sensitive subject, and I want to just say, this little article I read in the paper the other day, 500 and I think about 43 female lawyers and female judges spoke about this upcoming vote on abortion or against abortion, and they said, if it weren't for them to be able to have an abortion, they never would have been able to become a lawyer or a judge. That blew my mind, because so these women are saying, I aborted my baby so that I could become a judge and a lawyer. If I didn't do that, I would never have become a judge or a lawyer. This is mind-blowing to me. You're talking about a life. Now, there's the big argument, okay, when does life begin and all that stuff? We could have 3 shows on that, I suppose. Does anybody really know? I don't know. But they have a heartbeat, and after the heartbeat, and they have movement and a heartbeat and reaction and so on. And they're talking about the abortion now, where you can actually abort a baby after it's birth.
Yeah, they're talking post-birth abortion. That means you give birth, the kid takes a breath.
That's right.
And they kill it.
That's right. This is where we are today. Now, if you think that that isn't evil, you could tell me that that's not downright evil, that something evil isn't pushing this against this.
I'm right there with you, Barbara.
Sacred little being, this sacred being, because it is to me. Every child is sacred to me.
But the scariest portion about this whole deal is they're actually getting a portion of the population to be desensitized to the realities of what we just talked about. They're getting the people they're normalizing it.
So it's based on women's rights, okay? Now, as a woman, I know the history and the story about how we have been basically, tied down, duct taped, and stomped on for generations and all that. And I understand the Me Too thing, and I understand the women's rights and right to your own life, your own body, and so on and so forth, freedom. I get that. But this has gone way out of balance, folks. This has tipped way out of reality, out of common sense, okay? Out of the whole point of who we are as a human being, So this has been manipulated to become way out of balance. The same thing with the male and the female, sacred masculine, sacred feminine. They've pitted us men and women together so that we hate each other's guts, and we're always spitting on each other, beating each other up, and hating each other for you did this and well you did that. This is the plan. Don't you get it? This whole thing that we see, everything in our societies that basically creates this angst, this frustration, this anger, this rage, and this violence is part of their plan.
They tell you to be sensitive. While they take a duly elected president and make floats of him in a diaper and run around hollering Orange Man bad and getting triggered by red hats, This is part of the population out there.
If you happen to have voted, which I didn't, if you happen to have voted for Donald Trump, you are now called a Nazi, period.
Yeah.
Flat out. Racist and a Nazi.
Which I find really offensive because I have a grandfather who actually fought in World War II during that time. And I saw the scars up his back, and for him to go through all that suffering to try to fight against that type of deal, and then to turn around and years later, as his descendant, somebody who also served his country in so many different ways I can't list, that I'm now a Nazi.
You know? I will tell you one thing: Donald Trump will not be impeached. This is a big game. This is a big show. And by the way, they said if he wins again, well, they'll continue their impeachment circus if he does come in to be 2020. This is their game. These are the hidden cabal, the deep state. They had their plan, and like you said, Duke, if Hillary won, we would have been in the worst position and condition that you guys are dealing with.
Oh, I agree.
Okay, so before we get into other things here, I just want to take a left turn. And I'm doing this because you're both Americans and I'm a Canadian, so I'm the oddball. I'm sort of sitting way up here in the frozen Great White North, looking south into the U.S. Give me an idea here. This concept that I'm going to present here has been bounced around by a number of people that I've had on my shows and that I talk to a lot. The concept here is, and this is what I want your opinion on. If it's true that in life there is two sides to every coin, what are the odds and or the probability, maybe a more accurate word, that Donald Trump is simply the other side of the cabal coin, Nancy Pelosi and the left being one side, Donald Trump and all the Ted Nugents of the United States being the other side, and the cabal sitting in the middle, winding both sides of the coin towards a genocidal worldwide war that by itself brings the world population down to a controllable level.
It's highly likely. I couldn't discount it. But at the same time, I'm hoping for the best that he's actually in there to do the job of draining the swamp and getting the American people to pay attention. If anything at all that he has done a positive right there, one thing that you cannot disagree on is more people are talking about the situation that we're all talking about than ever before. More people are actually out there getting involved. Now, he could actually be the agitator on the Jerry Springer show that, you know, gets this side all riled up. He's a racist. He's whatever, you know. He's a Nazi, and that side over there starts reacting irrationally. This side over here on the Republican or the conservative side, they're fighting against these guys and gals over here when all along they're all on the same team. I keep saying the left and the right are attached to the same doggone bird, and if you can't recognize that, that bird is already eating you alive while you're sitting there distracted of which wing is doing what.
Well, I have an opinion on that as well, of course, because I had some interesting things happen to me around this person, Donald Trump. When I first started to observe when he first started running and the debates and so on, of course, I was looking at the mainstream media because that's what was being presented, and I was like appalled, and I was like, holy crap, neither one of these people. Hillary Clinton, because I knew her story. I didn't know anything about him. I said, I'm not even going to vote for either one of these. But I had some interesting things happen. In the middle of the night, as often happens to me, I was awakened by spirit, and spirit said to me, Donald Trump is going to be president. And you know, and I felt this overwhelming, anxiety about this. And then I got a message that chaos would be rising. And then this evangelist spoke about the message he got from God, and he was told that Donald Trump was God's chaos candidate. And as we know, a lot of the evangelists are on to, you know, siding with him because it's sort of in the Bible, his appearance, his date of birth, and all that other stuff is supposedly aligned with some prophecies. The next thing that happened to me was I was told, because I follow a spiritual tradition in the Lakota way, and I carry sacred items. One of them is the sacred pipe, or the Chinipawakan, which is one of the most sacred elements brought to the Indian people thousands of years ago by the white buffalo calf pipe woman. And I carry that for the people. And so I'm in prayer a lot, and it's an unknown power, as I've been told by the elders and so on. And I was told in a dream that I needed to pray for Donald Trump. With that chinupa. So these things were coming at me, and then I was observing more and more, and then Q appeared, and the Anons and so on, and various other alternative information started to come through. So I was in the middle of the, I say I'm sitting on the fence. I'm looking at this, and I'm saying, okay, these are two sides of the same coin, just as you were, the question you're posing is, are these two sides of the same coin? And I was in that position for a long time that, yes, these are exactly two sides of the same coin, leading us in the same direction that they want us ultimately to arrive at, which I'm not sure what that is. It could be one or it could be the other. We don't really know, but there is that agenda. And it's going to be, you know, quite serious, as I felt with that first information. About that anxiety that came over me, about where we were heading, where we were being led to. Well, and so I've come to the place now where I do feel that Donald Trump is working towards this deep state, this evil. And I'm not saying that the final solution here is going to be all peaches and cream. I don't think we know what that final solution is, but I see him working with different governments behind the scenes because they were all basically controlled by the deep state too. So I see that, and I see some presidential, executive orders that he's put out, for instance, to immediately begin a process setting up these, the arrests of porno sites and pedophiles and child sex trafficking. And that has been happening. I've seen CEOs and various other heads and leaders of different companies, and even in the Congress and the Senate on both sides, retiring before they should, because there's stuff on them. And I've seen the stuff on them through documents. So I've been aware of a lot that you have to do research in order to basically discover. So I'm in a different place right now because I feel that if Donald Trump doesn't win in 2020, we are going to be in deep doo-doo. Now, beyond that, again, I can't say what the final solution is. But there's something else going on here, Duke. Okay?
The veil's been pulled back, and you're starting to see blatant in... They can't hide the deep state anymore. They're right there in plain sight. And
well, he talked about the first thing that drew my attention when I was listening to him when he was running. He said that all the news is fake news.
Yep.
Now, I knew that. That made me sit up. When he said there is a deep state, I sat up because I knew that too. No politician in all my years of however old I am, in all my years, I've never seen or heard a politician, because I felt, well, they were all dirty and they were all basically being manipulated. He's the first, person who's running for president who spoke that way. Now, again, yes, it could all be two sides of the same coin, but I have to say the one side of the coin I'm going to say is in the evil arena.
But regardless
of things because of things that I have researched about what those people are involved in, and that's child sex trafficking and horror stories that I don't even want to talk about.
Yeah, but regardless of whether he's on the other side of the same coin or the other wing of the bird that we talked about, one thing that you can't deny is that he literally has pulled that curtain back and showed the man behind the curtain,
he's
shouted that the Emperor has no clothes. So even if he's there to agitate to get you mad for that reason, he done showed it. The cat's out of the bag. We already know how corrupt this system is.
So at this point, I really am feeling strongly that if he does not win in 2020, we are really going down.
Oh yeah.
I do feel that.
Do you both believe that you're going to make it to November election 2020?
There's a great number
of people I've spoken to in the U.S. who don't think the United States is going to get as far as November 2020 before there's violent, uncontrollable violence on the streets.
Well,
Rodney King kind of riots all over the country.
Yeah, I mean, okay, this takes a great leap of faith here, what we're talking about. So, I feel that we will. I don't think it's going to be pretty, because the reason I'm saying that is already we see the other side ramping up with horrific stuff, red flags everywhere, and the violence, people's reactions in a violent way. I mean, just recently, kids on a school bus severely beat a young kid, 13, 14-year-old age group, hospitalized him because he was wearing a MAGA hat, Trump hat. This is the level where people have come to with the violence and the hate. And this has been pushed deliberately, is to pit us against each other. And yes, there may be violence in the streets, and I think that's ramping up. I'm not saying it's going to be pretty, but I think that he's going to come into 2020, and I think that there are things to be unfolding here that may surprise everyone.
Well, I can't disagree with you. The only thing I'm saying is, like I've been saying all along, that even though, you know, something is too good to be true, then you need to keep your eye on it. So even Trump is under the skepticism of old crazy Herod Chaziz, because if he does what he said he was going to do when he gets in there, he straightens things out, and then hey, everything's great. But if he's part of the Jerry Springer effect, just there to slap the bee's nest and get us all fighting amongst each other, we got our issues, you know.
Well, I think that he is slapping the bee's nest to show everybody what we are, who we are,
yep.
to gauge the weather, if you want to say.
Yep.
You know, I'm like I said, I'm no longer on the fence, but I'm not resting on my laurels either.
Yeah, I'm right there with you.
I will, right. So I think we have to be that way. But there's other things that people aren't aware of that you know are going to be very surprising about what's going to be disclosed. The point is, will the people be able to see and hear? Will they be able to? And I doubt that, because I think that may alone cause a big revolution.
Well, one thing that you need to recognize right now, with all this censorship of the media going on out there, the way that they're trying to crack down on alternative media and shut down the other voices out there, they want you to get one side of the story. And we want you to get all sides of the story so you can step back and make an informed decision on how you're going to react to the deal. But if they get control of this doggone thing we call the internet, and you can't no longer get out there and say things without getting shut down, it's over. The game's over. It don't matter who's president, the game's over, because now they'll give you the news that they want you to have. You won't know what's happening. Without this communication, like the Knights of the Round Table and other round table discussions, you ain't got no way to talk to your brothers and sisters around the world. And that's like I said, what they said on that Bug's Life, what that grasshopper said, they outnumber us 100 to 1. Well, we outnumber them probably 1,000,000 to 1. But if we ever stand up and they realize that, then their way of life changes. And that's why they got to get control of this information war. That's why they got to get control of the Second Amendment and even the First Amendment to ensure that you don't say anything out of line. You know your place and you shut your face. That's what they want.
I have to make a point here, which is very important, and Mermaid Mama actually noted this. She said she feels that what Trump brings is largely up to us, because we are creating the world to come through our prayers and beliefs and what we focus on, I'm going to add, because we are co-creators. And the point is that the cabal elite know this. They know what we are capable of, and that's why they're manipulating us into this violence and hateful arena, because that violence, that hate, and all the separateness and division between us is creating our experience. Mm-hmm. But you have to choose. Basically, we're in the point of choosing now. What do you want to manifest to bring? No matter who, basically, what follows here, it is in our hands in how we are functioning and what we are focusing on, how we live, how we speak, what our energies are, our frequencies are, is because this is the power that we have. So they know that if we all focus on the fear, the terror, and the hate, that's what we're going to create. Yep. We're manifesting that, and that's what's going to unfold for us. So if you want something different, you have work to do. We have work to do, and we've talked about this so many times, about this timeline that we're in is a powerful timeline. You know, I was given a prophecy of the breakup and shattering of everything that had been put in place by the dominator patriarchy rule. And you guys are under that. We're under that. The whole world is under that.
Yep.
And it's breaking up and it's shattering right in front of our faces. So we have an opportunity now, basically, to recreate what we want. Now, if you want peace, you have to be a peaceful person. If you want violence and hatred and punching your family out because they voted for this one or didn't vote for that one, that's what you're going to create.
Agreed.
And they know that.
They are actively trying to do every single thing that they can to get that man out of office and to keep you and your brothers
well,
and sisters
alone,
fighting.
Well, that alone, you
have to question.
Yeah. I never in my whole life as a you know, in my all 70 some years have never seen a president, elected president, being treated this way.
They're doing every dirty trick under the sun in plain view.
Yeah. Yeah, you have to, and before he was even elected, Jerry Nadler said he's going to work on impeaching him. I mean, he wasn't even elected, okay? So you have to look at what is that, okay? Because you know why? Because he's not a political, in the political arena. He was never a politician, so he can't be owned, and he said that. That's the other thing Donald Trump said when he came out and spoke. He said, nobody owns me. I have my own money. I'm not a politician. I'm not in, you know, involved in anybody's party. You know, of course, he became running on the Republican Party, because in our country, you have to either be one or the other. But he said that, and I sat up to listen to that, too. He's right.
Yeah.
Okay?
And he called the media out. That's one of the things that got me interested in him as well. You know, the things that he said the right things. You know, and...
I'm
into truth. Whenever they took and they started cherry picking his words, and they used like little sound bites to go out there and demonize him and make everybody look. If the guy's a bad guy, he's a bad guy. The truth is show out. But if you're sitting there actively on the mainstream media taking little sound bites of his words or putting everything out of context, just in order to incite other people on the other side to believe that this guy is such a bad guy. A lot of these, like there's a Liberty Hangout YouTube channel out there. This girl goes out there and she asks all these questions to these people about different things. They don't even know the facts behind it, but they can repeat the talking points to a T, just like a mockingbird. So they're all hating this guy because they heard it on MSNBC or CNN or whatever.
They repeat exactly what mainstream media has said. But the other thing you have to question, so now today you can actually set up a video of someone speaking and manipulate the sound bites that is basically not their voice. So it looks like they're saying something, but they're really not saying that. You can do that. Technology is like that today. Now what they also do is they take portions of a speech and they cut it out, they isolate it and utilize it the way they want. And this has been done a lot in reference to things that Donald Trump is. I've seen the full videos of his rallies and certain things he's saying, doing research, and yet the mainstream media will pull out something and manipulate it so it looks like he. And I'll give you an example. During the riots where that white supremacists were and Nazis were rioting or marching or whatever, and that young girl was hit by a car and killed. I don't know if you remember that. And Donald Trump, mainstream media pulled out something Donald Trump said, and he said they were good people on both sides. That's what they pulled out. Everybody went ballistic about that. He said there were good people on both sides, so therefore he's saying these Nazis and white supremacists are good people too. But that's not what he said. I saw that clip that the mainstream media put out, and I was surprised myself. But then I did research, and I saw his full speech, and he said there are good people on both sides, and then he continued and said that the people, these parties, the white supremacist parties, are not good people. So he said that, but they didn't put that out on mainstream media. But you would never know that unless you did research.
When they do that, they deliberately lie and mislead the public into believing that he's this terrible person, and then it turns around and basically the Jerry Springer effect. Now, people out there trying to say what you just said, you wouldn't be able to get a word in edgewise at one of their rallies because they'd be blowing whistles in your face and shouting you down, and they don't want to hear the facts. They hate the man so bad they don't want to hear the facts. And when
they're like 5-year-old kids with their fingers in their ears.
La 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 la, I can't hear you.
That's
now,
right, exactly.
Barbara, just to support what you were saying about audio tracks.
Yeah.
I do a lot of broadcasting, as you know. I was looking at a software that I could buy online, $29.95 a year subscription for fully supported software that will take any audio tracks and you type in what you want it to say and it will use the voice of whatever audio tracks you assigned to it to draw the voice from. And it will pick out the words. I could type in anything I wanted and make it come out in software in Donald Trump's voice. I could take a video of him standing in the press conference room at the White House and have this software create a voice track that says, "The world is flat and I'm flying away with Dorothy in a hot air balloon. See you folks, have fun in Oz."
Yeah, and if that ain't scary, because some people don't pay attention to detail, they don't know the difference between chroma key, green screen, blue screen technology, which the mainstream media has used to quite literally fake things before. And so once they lost their trust with the people, how are you supposed to believe anything you see on there? And with that type of technology in the wrong doggone hands, it's worse than going in the doggone crowded theater and shouting fire. And they're getting by with this stuff. If there's any protest out there to be had, it should be on the doggone front lawn of every single media outlet out there that's been caught blatantly lying to the people. Because people trust their media. They used to fully, everybody used to trust the media. Why would they lie? They couldn't legally lie to you, could they? Well, the Supreme Court said the police officer can lie to get evidence on you. They said that propaganda's all right, Hey, so you're being propagandized, you're being lied to, you're being entrapped, you're being, gotten riled up just for somebody to further this agenda. You get everybody fighting each other, and then all those laws that you put in place, now you have justification to enact those laws. You want to talk about martial law, military in the streets. Once you get to fighting each other, once the Civil War breaks out, you're not just going to have your local army. You're going to have the UN troops sitting there because we're going to beg and plead for them to come in and bring about peace, right? And hasn't that been written about before?
Now, why do you think that the alternative media is being attacked and taken down? Because
we're truthers. That's
why. Exactly. But I think 2 years ago I was reading an article, don't know where, that more and more people were actually turning to alternative media.
Yep.
Because people were waking up and seeing that the mainstream media is basically part of the cabal and all biased. So that's why they're attacking alternative media.
Yep.
Well, I've actually given my audience a little visual example of how things can get flipped around in what they're seeing and hearing in the media. Unfortunately, your radio audience can't see this, but with my broadcast software, I can flip a camera, and right now my audience is seeing a picture of me in the bottom of the screen looking to my left, and the very same camera flipped 180 degrees makes me look like I'm looking to my right. So my audience is watching my right hand go in two different directions at the same time on my screen. Just an example of how your perception of reality can be flipped and distorted 180 degrees from what you think you're seeing and hearing. Shaziz and Barbara, I want to give you a little idea. You've touched a little bit on how your current American government is lacking its representational quality. It's not actually, the people elected aren't paying attention to the people doing the electing. I want to give you an example of how drastic that very same situation is here in Canada. Back in 1988, during a federal election when Prime Minister Mulroney was running to become Prime Minister, a progressive conservative candidate, part of Mulroney's party, in Wetaskiwin, Alberta, he campaigned really hard in his little county or riding, and he got elected with an 88% majority of votes, and he campaigned on voting against NAFTA, if you remember the North American Free Trade Deal back in the late 80s.
Yes.
He also voted, he swore to his constituents that he would vote against the implementation of our GST, our National Goods and Services Tax. He got elected in a sweeping landslide, got to Ottawa, reneged on everything he promised his constituents. He voted in favor of NAFTA. He voted in favor of the GST. His constituents, the voters, filed a class action lawsuit that went all the way to the Alberta Supreme Court. And in a ruling handed down December 10th of 1990, Honorable Justice E.A. Marshall, Justice of the Court of Queen's Bench of Alberta, which is the Supreme Court for the province of Alberta, in his ruling, he stated that it appears that the action is a claim of breach of duty on the part of the MP. He goes on to state, I know of no legal duty on an elected representative at any level of government to consult with his constituents or determine their views. While such an obligation may generally be considered desirable, there is no legal requirement. He goes on to state, let me just find this here. So I am satisfied that no court can compel the defendant, the elected MP, to account to his constituents. That's pretty simple language coming right from a Supreme Court judge. Imagine the Supreme Court of New York State, the state number one court in New York State, says, well, doesn't matter, you voted for them, but you can't get any representation from them. Your only course of action is to wait 4 years and vote again.
Jeez.
Could you imagine the government telling the people of the United States, we, the people, don't count?
That's pretty much what they have been doing.
In a way, they are saying that.
But in the United States, you people at least have a constitution to fall back on.
Yeah.
Here in Canada, we don't.
Right. Well,
we don't have a constitution
written
by the people.
That's why they're chipping away at the constitution.
One of the things that I'm thankful for is because of that constitution, we have checks and balances. We have an executive, a legislative, and a judicial branch of government. And as long as there's a dual party system on there, at least arguing back and forth, some of their truth is actually leaking out to the people, and the people are standing up and taking note. So in some weird sense, it's actually buying us time. We the people, it's buying us time to get our act together, and we need to seriously contemplate on getting our act together as soon as possible before this all goes south, over the falls in a barrel or over a cliff in a grocery cart. Because once that starts, once we're off the edge, it's a done deal. And I hate to be the one that sounds like a doom and gloomer, but I'm telling you right now, folks, if you're listening in, the United States of America will not be able to survive a second civil war. No way, no how.
This not as you know it now.
No.
No. Nope. If you're lucky, you'll wind up with maybe half as many states as you have now. Some states will merge with others and form a larger single state, Nebraska and Kansas kind of thing.
You'll have
United States as you know it, with a constitution and the concept of we the people.
Yep.
It's not going to exist when this is done. It's going to be up to the people who survived this mess to recreate what was created in 1776, only do it better. That's our obligation as truthers, is to educate the people here today in the hopes that enough of them with the knowledge will survive what's coming and build in the future.
Yep, you'll have a Mad Max version of Road Warrior going on here in the United States for years to come. If you look, I keep asking
one
people,
man in,
go
two
out
men
there,
enter, one man leaves.
Yeah. I keep asking people, go watch that series Jericho and see if you want to live and have your family live through that kind of scenario, because it was mind-blowing. The same people who started the mess to begin with were the ones that came in and basically won and were the saviors at the end. And then the alarming thing was when they started handing out these textbooks to the teachers, and the teachers were reading these textbooks who had already read the old textbooks, and they knew that there were changes in there that were wrong. These folks came in and they wrote the history in, and so anybody from that point on educated with those school books would have no idea that you ever even had a constitution, that there was any such concept as freedom, that you could openly speak out against your government. You wouldn't know it. And that's what they're incrementally doing to our children in school. Used to be you had to understand the Constitution, you had to know the Constitution before you could graduate from high school. Not anymore. Uh-uh. You ask the 17 or 18-year-old kid about his rights according to the Constitution, he could name two, the ones that are most popular, the First and Second Amendment. But you go any further past that, he ain't got a clue. He hasn't got a clue how many amendments to the Constitution they are, and has a distorted view about science, history, and every other subject that you should have been taught about in school, so that you could know to not repeat the past mistakes of society moving forward. But they haven't allowed. They keep on saying about we need to uplift everybody. We need to bring everybody up to the same level. Everybody needs to be taken care of. But that's only after, according to their agenda, a lot of us got to go, and then it's on their terms the way that we move forward. And if it boggles my mind, because when I look at this world and I see all the resources available and I paid attention in science class, there are solution after solution after solution. And I say this with 150,000% confidence. We have every single answer to every single problem necessary to resolve everything. Every problem that you can put on a table. But until you realize that and everybody else starts working together, it's their rules. It's their game. The terminology is that he who has the gold makes the rules. And anybody out there want to tell me where all the gold is? Somebody point it out. Supposedly some of it's in Fort Knox, but you know, we've heard stories about that too. So, you know, the Federal Reserve isn't even really part of the government. It's a private banking industry. The private banking industry has been able to literally foreclose on your house. They sell you the house, get some money off of you. They insure that house. They turn around, foreclose on that house. They're able to collect on the insurance money because you didn't pay your loan. Then they turn around and resell that house multiple times over. They're making out like bandits while you're trying to find a place to live.
Yep, yep. It's central banking was the creation of the British way back in, it was Queen Mary created the central bank, the Bank of England. I think it was the 1700s. Don't hold me to the date. It might have been the 1600s. It was Mary, Queen of Scots, who created the Bank of England, the very first central bank in the world. And our entire central banking system is based on fiat currency. It's non-backed currency.
It's monopoly money.
Fort Knox, it's monopoly money. Yep, Fort Knox has no money. And if you were to follow articles on a website called ZeroHedge.com, you can read about how overextended banks are. I just read a recent article on their website earlier this week, where it explained how, in this article, how the 10 major banks in the world, now we're not talking your local Bob Savings and Loan, we're talking banks like JP Morgan, Chase Manhattan, Credit Suisse, Standards out of England, all of these big, huge, international conglomerate banks, in 2008, they were operating with what's called reserves. In other words, for every dollar that you, the customer, deposit in the bank had 200% plus in reserves. So if you put a dollar in the bank already had $2 in the bank to give you back your dollar plus interest tomorrow. Today, in 2019, those same banks that 10 years ago were operating at 200% plus reserves, cash on hand. Think of having 200% more money than you need every month in your bank account at the end of the month. That's how these banks were operating. Today, they're operating on 31% reserves. So if you walked into your bank today and said, I want the dollar back that I gave you yesterday, cash on hand, they only have 30 cents of that dollar in the till behind the counter for the teller to give you back your dollar plus interest. They've only got 30 cents of it sitting there.
Jeez. Well, that's the whole thing, but they're using that funny money, that monopoly money, to go around and lobby our representatives. They got corporations and all that. They're using that funny money, and they're getting by with it because they're able to find loopholes to sneak all this funding in for people's campaigns. And then behind the scenes, God knows how much election fraud is involved in this deal. And here's the thing. The mainstream media will sit there and tell you there is no election fraud, that, you know, it's very rare. At the same exact time, they're putting it out there about the election fraud. They're getting people to where they don't even trust their vote anymore. I can't tell you how many people said, I'm not going to vote. It's pointless. You know?
Well, that's been the mantra here in Canada for three generations. My generation, my parents, and my grandparents. They've all had the, why bother voting? It doesn't do any good.
And I just read you a judge's ruling that says they're right. It doesn't do any good. It doesn't matter who you vote for. They can all legally, lawfully lie to you and get away with it.
So where's our solution in this deal? And that's the big question right there. Where is our solution? What is our remedy? And our remedy is already written in paper as far as the U.S. goes. We have remedies. But whether or not the people are actually going to utilize those remedies is to be told. But
that's the key, sir.
When it comes down to the average Joe, if you're sitting there around the table and you're talking to everybody and everybody's getting in an argument, Orange Man's bad, no, he's not, he's a good guy, and you're bickering back and forth, you're missing the point. The whole point is that something is going on that needs to be addressed, and if you two ain't willing to cooperate and even have that little tiny discussion in peace, you're just waiting. You're just waiting for the firecracker to go off, because it will go off. The fuse is already lit.
Now, let me just finish here, Barb, and then I'm going to shut up again for a few minutes. Shaziz, you mentioned a really unique word, and earlier in the conversation, we were talking about how what we're witnessing is a war of ideologies, basically.
Yep.
And we need to accept the fact that we are at war, but it's a war of words, not bullets. Now, on that premise, you used a word just a minute ago that I want to correct you on, or point out the inaccuracy of. You used the word remedy and solution in the same sentence, and they're two very different things. A remedy is taking a NyQuil when you have a cold. It makes you feel a little bit better for a short period of time, but it doesn't make the cold go away.
Yeah, I get that.
A solution is making sure you get rid of the cold and never get it back again.
Yeah.
That's the difference between a remedy and a solution.
Well, sometimes I get so passionate, I'm reaching deep down inside trying to find the right words. And, you know, look, I'm not perfect. I'm flawed, I guarantee you that. But the thing about it is, one thing stands true. If we don't get our act together, these folks already have their act together. And right now, because of the alternative media, they're desperate. And you can see the desperation in their faces and the dirty deeds that they're doing right directly in public. If you and I had even done a fraction of what these people have done, we'd be so far into the jail, we'd be speaking a foreign language. Literally. You know, if we were that lucky to survive it. Because all you got to do is make the wrong person mad here in this world today. You make the wrong person mad, and they have the power and the money and the resources to destroy your life.
Money is might, and might is right.
Yep. Look what they're doing to the alternative media. Look what they're doing to Facebook and Twitter and all the people who, you know, you think you got a voice, you think you have freedom of speech, and then you find out that you can't be seen in certain countries. China won't let our words be seen if they don't comply
with
the
rules. You and I had this conversation this morning, Shaziz. I told you that my Restream software that I use to broadcast out to multiple platforms, it tells me how many viewers I have, completely independent of Facebook and YouTube.
Yeah.
I told you this morning, my Facebook, last night when you and I finished my show last night, it showed that 336 people had viewed my video while we were live. In the 2.5 hours that we were live, 336 people, according to Facebook. According to my Restream analytics, just on Facebook, 25,552 people watched us live.
Yeah, I get that.
On YouTube says only 145 people watched your video. My Restream says 18,000 plus watched our video that last night.
Well, Shaziz Radio,
they're manipulating data and influencing people. They're making the public look like what we did last night nobody paid attention to, therefore it's not worth listening to. That's why they manipulate these numbers, and it's just one example of what they're doing.
YouTube, I have the same problem on YouTube that you got on Shaziz Radio and People for People Radio Network. We are actively being, you know, censored. If you go look at the top of browser there, Google has got it set up so that if our site doesn't comply to Google's rules, it's deemed to be not secure. We're not spying on anybody here. We're not trying to put malware on anybody. And everybody who's been here hasn't had any problems outside of the fact that sometimes our players are jacked with or our stream is messed with. So we touch on certain subjects. You watch. It happens. That's a fact. So
well,
I know we're...
That's because we're speaking truth to lies.
Yep. I know that's we're getting why. Out there. It's just
you
that...
You can't do that. They don't want you speaking truth to lies. They don't want you giving solutions. They don't want the people supporting each other, the coming into unity and waking up. They don't want that.
Nope.
Not at all. That's why they, as George Carlin said, they kill the truthers. Let me see if I can remember these names that he rattled off. Jesus, JFK, Bobby Kennedy, Martin Luther King, and there was two others that he named, and I forget them. But part of his stand-up routine, I've got it on video somewhere, he stands right there on stage and says, they kill the truthers, haven't you ever noticed? And he lists off these names, starting with Jesus.
Yep, that's the whole thing, man. It's so, yo, hey, I don't care. I've been around this world for 54 years. I've led a very interesting life, probably more exciting than I cared to have at times. You know, but, so I'm not worried about them trying to do me in for my words. I'm just hoping that all these podcasts are sitting out there and somebody's going to hear them. And those words will resonate, and that ripple that we threw in the pond, that seed we planted, it'll grow out there, and people will constantly continue this. I would love to see a youth version of the Knights of the Round Table. I'd love to see more people getting to the table and bringing each other together, you know, across international boundaries and, political or religious views or whatever, or lack thereof, it don't matter. The fact is, we're all in the same boat together. If you're over there on your side of the boat and you're poking holes in the boat, that's not helping the situation.
Yeah.
You're pointing the finger at me. I'm poking a hole in the boat because you made me mad. Really? You're burning down your own community and wonder why you ain't got a job? Come on.
I have to talk some truth here to the lies. I'm going to say that all that we've been talking about here for the last, couple of hours is pretty huge, disturbing, concerning, and daunting, and it should be, all of those. But, it's sort of like when you ignore or blatantly deny things that are pretty much right in your face, or you're just completely confused and lost, and you feel inside yourself, something doesn't feel right, but I don't know what it is. I can't put my finger on it. Well, that's your first clue there, because that's your internal truth meter, coming alive. We have instincts. We have a natural sense of things. We have our intuitives, a sense of things. We have right from wrong. It's a frequency. It's an energy. You feel something. Something is not quite right, but then you say, oh, well, just let me get back to my whatever. But you have to stop now, I think, and start paying attention to what your own internal wisdom is speaking to you about, saying
what your guts are telling you.
Your guts are telling you, and because that's a very important thing to pay attention to. I think we can't be complacent anymore, but I just want to say that what we speak about is huge, and sometimes we speak of things that are, I guess people could say, wow, I don't even want to know that. I don't want to go there. I can't deal with that. Well, you have to be careful of that reaction, because then that just continues to keep you dumbed down and in control by others, and basically you are unable to really function to your highest good. And this is what I think is really important in this timeline where we are now. we're in a timeline of many prophecies unfolding, by the way. And the prophecies run in on two pathways. We have a very dark, negative prophecy, and we have a very light and joyous and illuminating prophecy running side by side. And this seems to be the two sides to the coin as well. You know, there's good and bad and ugly in every circumstance. There's good people in the political arena that don't have much pull because we have an imbalance there. But it's an imbalance also in our life, in our whole experience in life. The imbalances that have pretty much been ramping up and taking over. And I think we have to find a balance within our own self in order to be able to function on a higher level. The prophecy that we are speaking of, where I'm going to speak about, is the fifth world, thousand years of peace, which is a timeline. We look at the shifts in the systems, the Aquarian system, leaving one system, moving into another, the shift upon the earth, what's happening, the new paradigm. We're talking about also the fourth world that we have been in for millennia, which is the fourth world of chaos. And we're at this timeline, this point in time now, where we're being asked to choose. We're being asked to determine and make a choice. Either we're going to step onto the path of the light or the path of the dark. Either we're going to step into this place where we are becoming what we fully were meant to become as human beings, which I'm going to identify in my way as an enlightened, compassionate human being, or stay on the other pathway, which is that dark, ignorant, dumbed down, manipulated, controlled person who actually reacts in the violent way that we are meant to, according to that pathway. So we have choice here, free will, and this is a crucial timeline according to prophecy. So you know, we could look at that. I think we have to expand our focus to our thinking and know that there's something far greater going on here than just this political stuff we're talking about. You know, right now that's in our face, but I think we have to keep remembering there's something far greater, and we are involved with this something far greater. You know, for me, I have this very strong faith, and I've always had this ever since I was a child, and I guess I call that the foundation. That's the foundation that helps me to move through all this insanity and chaos and the horrors and various other things that I see, read about, research, and so on, and have come to realize that are facts. I see, I know there's another side, and I'm aligned with that other side. And I think our faith, because I feel this is a spiritual war. You know, I said this was a war for our souls, and it is on some level. And this is that crucial time period. And we are leaving this fourth world, or meant to be leaving the fourth world of chaos, which is violent and chaotic and divisiveness and pitting each other against it, each other in continual war and famine and all the stuff that they've, you know, created here, manifested. We're all part of it. We're participating in it. Our participation is key. I guess I'd say with all that we've been talking about today, the question would be to the listeners is, what will you choose from this point forward and how to participate in life? Because you can either continue to participate with frustration, anger, rage, prejudice, violence, and negativities, or you can shift over and start changing the patterns and behaviors that we have been basically programmed to follow according to what they need. They need that energy of violence, that hate. They need the blood sacrifice, I'm going to tell you, because that's part of that evil. So we're in this timeline now, you know, and I have great faith. You know, I have that foundation, and I'm not perfect. I'm not saying I'm perfect, and I get this all the time. You know, certainly not. But I see something here that we have an opportunity to participate in this coming time, regardless of who wins, regardless of what happens. What you will experience, what your life will be like, will be what you believe in and what your foundation is, what your strength is, what your courage is, and so on and so forth. Something. You can believe in God, you can believe in Creator, Great Spirit, Tukashla, it doesn't matter to me. You could believe in a tree. It's something you need that will strengthen you, that will protect you, that you can stand on, turn to, and be, you know, surrounded with when whatever happens is going to happen. Mm-hmm. To me, this is where we are being asked to come to today. this, like, the new paradigm unfolding here, the Age of Enlightenment, is basically where we are, the Age of Aquarius. It's enlightenment, it's that time, a new paradigm, a new frequency, you know, peace. This is, people say, well, we'll never have peace. But I feel if you believe we'll never have peace, then we will never have peace. It's sort of like, what we believe in, we manifest and create. What goes around comes round. What we focus on, we manifest. This is something that Creator, Great Spirit, gave to us. Or if you don't believe in anything like that, you have that ability anyway. It's sort of like we've heard so many years people say, well, what goes around comes round. What you focus on is what you create and manifest. And it's very true. And so, okay, Duke is going to head out to right now, Duke.
You got any last words of wisdom before you peel out?
Well, I wanted to thank both of you, and I didn't mean to interrupt you, Barb. We had time.
That's
you could
right.
have finished. You could have
that's
finished.
That's okay. I didn't want you to drift away without saying goodbye. Thank
well,
you.
Well, no, that's one reason why I mentioned it. For those in my audience and those listening, the three of us talk in Skype chat that you guys don't see, and I just messaged them both that I had to leave and go play boyfriend taxi. My girlfriend is working a little extra shift today, and I have to go pick her up from work at noon. I apologize for having to dip out so quickly here. I want to just get back to Shaziz's comments about remedy and solution. Remedies are fairly easy for us to find. You're seeing one in Virginia right now, this uprising against the destruction of the Second Amendment, and that's really what it is the destruction of the Second Amendment. That's a remedy. That's a one-issue fix. That's a Band-Aid on a hurt finger. It doesn't address the infection that got in through that wound and is continuing to permeate through the body of society.
Well, I agree. But the thing I'm trying to point out is we're not helpless. If we all stand united, every time it's shown, you know, the Bundy Ranch deal, what's going on up there in Virginia, when people start to stand up and they come together, they get noticed. I mean, it does make a difference.
Well, what I'm saying is that we are not helpless, and it is not hopeless. We have really something more than I think many people have identified. So it is not hopeless,
and we are
not helpless.
And that's
right?
my point here in closing, Barbara, is that there is hope, and there is a solution out there. In the United States, you already have that solution. You have the basis of a lawful, sovereign constitution and the ability for the sovereign people of the United States to seat a lawful, de jure government.
Yep.
We in Canada don't have that ability. And here in Canada, there are groups actively formulating constitutional committees, very active in Saskatchewan and Alberta. As you know, Western Canada is very alienated by our federal authorities, and the people in Saskatchewan and Alberta are very active, right as we speak today, in formulating constitutional committees and with the goal of holding constitutional conventions, writing a constitution by, for, and of the people, and seating lawful, de jure governments that would be sovereign authorities in the land of Saskatchewan and another one in the land of Alberta, as all 10 provinces in what we colloquially call Canada are in fact independent countries and have been since 1931, the passing of the British Statute of Westminster. So just as each and every one of your U.S. states first becomes, say, Montana, went from the territory of Montana to a sovereign free state. Before it could join the Union, it had to be on a standing equal to all the other members of the Union. In Canada, our 10, what we incorrectly call provinces, are in fact
10 free sovereign countries. The people of those countries just need to do what the Americans did in 1776, stand up, stick their gun butt in the ground and say, this is my land. I am not owned as a citizen. I am a free man and sovereign over my land. That's what you guys did in 1776. We need to do it here.
Well, I think that the patriots of the U.S. should stand with the patriots of Canada, because that's basically the only thing that gets the attention. I don't advocate violence. I wish for peace. I pray for peace. But, you know, you can't keep pushing the people like this. You can't keep
doing
it.
Our enemy doesn't want peace. That's the whole misconception with so many people out there who look at people like you and I and Barbara and other patriots, and they think, you're a warmonger, you're talking about war. Well, we're talking about it because our enemies intend to bring it down on us.
Yeah, that's it.
Talking about the truck that's about to run you over if you don't step back up onto the sidewalk isn't wishing that it's going to run you over. It's making you aware of the danger that's coming towards you.
And that's why we have these conversations. Because we're not out here trying to scare people and, you know, make fresh new doomsday preppers. We're out here trying to get people to realize that you got to keep your eyes and ears open. The age of deception is here. We're living it. And until you realize that you have a power to stand against it, Barbara explained it to you, you know, in really brilliant detail. But if you don't believe that you even have that capability, you're just going to let them manifest whatever they so choose. What they deem for your life will become your reality, and you will let that happen. We don't have to have a one-world government. We would have to accept it.
People have been letting that... Go ahead, Barb. Go ahead.
I was going to say, it's because they are few, we are many.
Yep.
People all over North America have been allowing themselves to be treated as unintelligent sheeple for generations. Every single U.S. state has a seatbelt law. Every single U.S. state has a helmet law for motorcycles. Why? Because the elites have convinced you that you're too stupid to figure out what's good for you.
Yeah, on one hand, they're telling you about climate change, where I've got like several inches of global warming all over my front lawn and my back lawn and my roof. And then whenever I propose the solution to the problem that they say that we obviously have, because there's all that snow outside.
And CO2 is life.
Yeah.
It's the essence of life, and they want to get rid of it. We've got too much CO2.
So if I'm offering a solution and nobody's willing to listen to that solution, then, you know, we're just at the mercy of them running around fear-mongering the children for the next decade or two. You know, hey, like I said yesterday, we're going to run out of oil in 20 years. 20 years after that, we're going to run out of oil in 20 years. What is it, 20 years or 40 years? All right, well, their actions speak louder than words. Their hypocrisy is off the scale, and if people don't get self-educated, if they don't get out there and do the research like Barbara mentions all the time, like Duke mentions all the time, like I mentioned and Patty mentions and Barry mentions, if you're not out there actively researching to find that truth, you're just going to buy whatever line that they put out there. It's so much easier to listen to CNN, ABC, MSNBC, and all them to tell you how bad somebody is and you should hate them and all that. It's so easy to do that. It's so easy to repeat what they just said, like some parrot out there, you know, a talking bird or whatever. It's so easy to do that. It's harder to get out there and take your own time to get out there hours on end and do what it is to do that is able enables us to sit here and talk the way that we do on these shows. We have had hours and hours of research in every single possible direction after articles and videos and things that the mainstream media had spewed out. We matched theirs with theirs, and we stepped back. We made a conscious decision to talk about these because we felt it was necessary in order to ensure that information flowed in a truthful manner as opposed to the way that it was delivered to us. And that's a lot of work. To do these radio shows may seem like that, not that big of a deal.
I'm out of here, guys. I really got to go. Barbara, I don't mean to interrupt you. I want to end my segment of the show here with a comment from my Facebook chat room from Nikki Hurley out in Western Canada. He puts it very simply, very clearly, and very truthfully. The solution starts with we the people.
Amen, brother.
And on that note, Shaziz and Barb, I'm going to dip out of here and go be a good boyfriend and pick up my girlfriend from working her extra Sunday morning shift.
All right, you take care.
I want to thank you both for putting up with me. It's been a great morning.
Thank you so much. It's been wonderful. Glad to be here with you.
So, Barbara, I guess it's just you and I now, but we've been here before. It takes a lot of work and a lot of patience.
Goodbye to your audience, Shaziz. I'll see you folks maybe next Sunday. I might be back on the show if the host is good enough to ask me in. As for my audience, I'm going to close things out here with Shaziz, and I'll be with you guys in just a second.
Well, we love having
Take care,
you.
Folks.
Thank you, everyone.
Anyway, we've been down this road. It takes a lot of work, a lot of patience, a lot of spiritual strength in order to continue to do what we do. And so I'm not trying to necessarily toot our horn, but, you know, I just want people to understand, we don't just jump up here and throw this thing down like this. We're looking into stuff. We're trying to find the truth, and we're trying to bring that information to the table. We got a lot of brilliant comments that's gone through this chat that I've not been able to get to, but man, the people in the chat rooms at People for People Radio and over at Shaziz Radio, they're awesome. They're what helps make this go the way that it does. Some of the things that they point out we may not have seen at first or whatever, but this is what a real network looks like. You go to People for People Radio Network, peopleforpeople.ning.com. That's what real people and a real network looks like. You do that same thing over here at Shaziz Radio. All right, this is an amazing thing that we're doing, and I'm honored and humbled and grateful for the opportunity to even be able to sit here and have these conversations with these brilliant people, because I believe that there's an urgency out there.
I agree. You know, one thing we didn't talk about is the Creator's law that we should all be living according to. But all these other laws, man's laws, have taken over and gotten in the way and kind of like corrupted our relationship and connectedness to Source. You know, I feel that the morality, the morals of humanity has been led down the tubes. You know, we see that ramping up over and over, and I think that is definitely part of the agenda, to pit us against each other, but not only that, pit us against creation, against something, you know, so magnificent.
Paul Harvey agreed too.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many things to talk on and to discuss. You know, we get off on many different subjects, but I didn't want to let that go, because I think that is a very important piece, a key piece, is that how we see the morals, in the dump, and the way people are behaving, and the way deliberately behaving, being put in these scenarios here.
They laugh at things that would normally be considered vulgar.
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, I've seen things that are quite shocking to me, and I don't know. I'm not a prude. I'm fairly worldly, I think, but I just am worried and concerned about that direction of the ability to discern something that is not good and something that is actually verging into evil and harmful. Okay, so the discernment piece here, you know, it seems that people don't have the critical thinking, and I know that's deliberate, and we can't blame people. This, I think we've moved through that, don't you? You
know, well, we used to I'm not angry at the people, and I'm not trying to blame the people. I'm just trying to put a seed in their mind so that they look critically and start to discern these different things for themselves, because right now they're being led by the nose by people who don't have their best interest at heart.
Yeah, well, I think that, again, I think that that's why we're talking. That's why we're talking, because unfortunately, I think we're preaching to the choir out here, you know?
Well, sometimes yes, but I have seen times when people show up and they say, "Wow, you know, this is an amazing show. I never knew you folks were here."
Well, we reach people, you know, unexpectedly. They come in, they find their way, and this is why we continue on. And I know in the past there have been times when we have felt like, "Why should we bother?"
Yep.
You know, but I know we're through that. I know we're done with that. And that I think we realize that we're all in the same boat, you know. We're all paddling the same boat together here. We're all in this together. We're not alone, and we're not separate. And we're all dealing with the same issues. And we're not powerless, like they have told us, you know. And it is not hopeless. And we are not helpless, like they have told us. They have done a good job. And a lot of people, I think, are really bereft, and I think they're sinking. You know, and I pray for them. I pray for everybody, you know, and I pray for, you want to say, well, I pray for the enemy, because if we don't pray for these people that are lost and doing dark stuff, well, what's going to happen? They'll just continue to do that stuff. They'll just continue to violate creation, to violate what is sacred. So I believe in the power of prayer, and I do believe in miracles. I've seen miracles through prayer. I've seen, you know, amazing things. And I feel that that's the way we're supposed to participate, is hold the energy, the frequency of that compassion. That's a powerful frequency, compassion. And if you think that we'll never have peace, well, you'll never experience peace then, because it's not beginning with you. It has to be within you.
Well, negativity breeds negativity, just like positivity breeds positivity. And if we just sit around and grind on everybody all the time about all this negativity stuff, We'll drop their spirits down into the dirt, and they'll believe that they're hopeless. And we're trying to do just the opposite. We're trying to tell them what's going wrong out there that we see, and we're trying to hear when they say what's wrong, and we're trying to put the solutions that are available on the table for everyone to be able to fix this mess. I honestly believe, Barbara, I still believe in the dream. I still believe that we can fix this. I honestly do. I don't think it's gone so far that it's not repairable. Even if we have to ride the storm out and come out the other side and build that new world, I think that if we keep this same momentum, same mindset up, that we will have enough people that will be wise enough by the time it's all said and done that we can do it the right way, like it was meant to be done the first time.
Well, I think that too, and I mean, I guess that's why we're here. You know, we signed up for this, right? I mean, we're here, obviously, because we were meant to be here. And I think it's important that we reflect upon how we want to participate and how much we are maybe being organized and controlled. And that it's in our hands, you know. And I have great faith in humanity. There are many people waking up, but there are lots of people that are working for the good. You know, don't forget that. I mean, you may not see that on the mainstream media because they want you to be in fear.
You know, the funny thing about it is that a lot of people just overlook the fact that you don't have to accept the darkness. You don't have to. You have a choice. You really do have a choice. You can either choose the right or you can choose the wrong. That's that free will thing that people talk about. You have a choice. In this entire deal, you have a choice. Every single one of you.
think the main thing is to know that it is not hopeless and you are not helpless. That will give you something to begin to work with, if you know that.
Yep.
If you come to realize that basically being told that it is hopeless is a ploy. It's part of their game. To be told that you are helpless and you can't do anything, you can't change this or make a difference, that's part of the game, part of the play.
Simply understanding how powerful your words really are makes all the difference in the world. And that's just your words. We mentioned your actions and the things that you do and your spiritual journey that you're on or not on, your personal beliefs or whatever. You know, if you're true to yourself, if you're true to your faith, if you're true to each other, you have more power than you can possibly imagine. When you talk about manifesting your destiny and stuff like that, I'm right there on board with you. I understand. There's such a thing as self-fulfilled prophecy. If you believe your life is going to be down the toilet, you're literally going to go down the toilet. Henry Ford said, if you think you can or you think you can't, you're right. That's how come he was so successful. Because he believed that he can. And he made it so. And we can do the same thing. You know what I'm saying?
I do. And I think that, again, I have to go to psychological warfare. Because these people, these controllers, know the mind. They know how our minds work. And
yep.
that's kind of to have a think tank of people to sit down and think about how do people's minds work, how can we control them, how can we manipulate them. To think that there are actually people that do that is mind-blowing in itself, but it's true.
Yeah.
So you kind of have to stretch yourself a little bit to realize that there are people out there who are using psychological warfare to manipulate us and control us so that we believe that it's all hopeless and this is too huge and we can't do anything and, you know, we don't know what to do. We have nothing. Well, that's wrong, you know?
Yeah.
We have a power, a power of a focus, a power of intention, a power of word, a power of energies, a power of a thought and word and acts. Our frequencies and energies that shift things. That's the whole point of understanding creation, how we are all connected energetically to everything and how we affect and are affected by all of creation. And it depends on what you're focusing on and what you believe and what your intention is then what you manifest. It's the art of manifestation. Just do some study on art of manifestation and put yourself in that position of the manifester, because you are constantly manifesting whether you are aware of it or not.
Yep. And the ability to be able to see through the lies out there, that discernment that you were talking about earlier, that's another important key to the puzzle. Because if it doesn't feel right, then chances are it's probably not. And
no, it's like you want to be... You want to be awake, don't you?
Yeah.
That's a good question. Or do you want to be asleep and be manipulated and just run on this empty tank?
That's
you know,
it.
I mean, it's like we have the ability in our hands, but we were told we do not have the ability. Who are you going to believe? Who are you going to believe? You're going to believe in yourself and something far greater, or are you going to believe in this cabal? The mainstream media or the controllers, because this we have an amazing ability we were given. We create consciously or unconsciously. We are manifesting our experience in life consciously or unconsciously. Do you want to be awake? That means to be consciously awake, to use the tools to consciously manifest your life, your experience. But they put everybody to sleep.
Yeah. And they got everybody so distracted and in the understanding that they're weak and helpless and can't do nothing about it. And, you know, that's the scary thing about the whole deal. Because we got the talent, we got the numbers, we got the gifts, we got the resources. As a combined, we the people kind of scenario, we can make things happen. And... they don't want you to realize that. They never want you to know that you can talk to each other. They don't. It's blatantly obvious. Look at YouTube. Look at Facebook. Look at Twitter. Said it a million times. They're doing everything they can to possibly shut up this kind of talk. They don't want it. And for obvious reasons, because the moment we all get together, their life changes. They can't do us this way if we don't consent. They can't treat us like, cannon fodder or whatever, you know. They can't use us as pawns if we don't consent. And we've been consenting for too long. We've been compliant, complacent. We've been sitting back idly on the fence, hoping for the best and hoping that this, Savior's going to ride in on a white horse and fix everything. You know, even in my faith, Jesus said that no man knows the time or day, that he come like a thief in the night. So you ain't even going to know when. But in the meantime, what do? Sit by and let evil run us down? God never told us to lay down to evil. Told us more or less to stand up against it, to not fear. You know, if God's with you, who can be against you? That's the word right there. And unless it's all a lie, well, you know, either way, you still need to do something to fix your world. They're sitting there telling you how terrible your world is. How stressful is that to a child? How stressful is that to somebody who hasn't really paid attention in science? If you think doom and gloom's around the corner, if the doomsdayer preachers of the world are sitting there convincing you that that the darkness is upon you and there ain't nothing you can do about it, well, then you're going to believe that, and then you're going to act accordingly. And they sat there and told everybody how terrible the world was, and then when people responded by going out and building them bunkers and buying up supplies and all that kind of stuff, they turned around and called them crazy. And now you think that if you go out and do that, if you go out and you get prepared, you're going to be called crazy as well. And so since you want to be part of the crowd, you're not going to do what you need to do to protect yourself and your family. That's the thing. And they know that. Just like Barbara mentioned, they have had years of research and people sitting around tables learning how your mind works and how to manipulate you, the right words to say to trigger you. Think about all those different words: homophobe, xenophobe, racist, hate crimes and all this, hate speech and all that. All these different powerful words that they use to make you defensive. When you have to defend that you're not a racist, knowing deep down in your heart that you're not, that's not nice. That's not a good thing. You have to sit there and defend your honor and your truth all the time, and you have to sit here and try to talk to other people who have already been so indoctrinated and mind scrambled or mind controlled that they believe that you're this bad portion of society because the man said. Well, we got issues. If we can't trust each other, we really got problems. It's bad enough we can't trust the media. It's bad enough we can't trust our supposed representation. If we can't trust our vote, and then they turn around and actively do everything they can to get us fighting each other, and we comply. We go out there in the streets and we protest and we burn down our own communities and give them yet even more power. You've watched a serious deterioration not only in morals, but you've watched a serious depletion of your rights. And every single time that you stand idly by and say, it's okay, it's for the safety, it's for the children, well, you make it that much harder for us to ever even hold on to what it is that we believe is freedom. And that's the problem, folks. It all rests in your hands and my hands, all of us together. If we're not willing to say the tough things when they need to be said, if we're not willing to stand with our brothers and sisters, our neighbors, wow, we got serious issues.
Well, I'm not blaming anybody. I know you're not either, but I want to say this because what I'm saying, what I'm pointing out is we were all subjected from the time we were children, and our parents and our grandparents were all subjected to basically the mind control system that they have been studying to be able to control us for years. this mind, this, you know, psychological warfare. So we've all been subjected to this. So I'm not like blaming people for their lack of understanding or their inability to get these things or to see, you know, the truth behind the lies. I'm not. I'm just saying we've all been subjected to this, and yep. How huge it is, how big it is, how worldwide it is, how in depth it is, how dark it is, you see. And so we've all been there. We've all been subject to this. Some of us have had things that have happened that have awakened us and moved us out of the depth of that, you know, but yep. We're still being subjected to it. We're all in this together is what I'm saying, and there are solutions, and we do have answers, and, you know, I think people have to really find something within themselves, within you, that is far greater and more powerful than you have been told or to believe in. It's the same thing when I work with people in therapy and counseling. I have them identify their story, like the trauma, their experience, what they dealt with as a child, and I'll have to say, a lot of it is not pretty. It's horrifying. But then I look at that person sitting in front of me, and I say, wow, you have survived that trauma, that horror. You are here in this moment with me, sitting here with me. That is huge. What is it about you? I ask them, what is within you? What is it about you that brought you this far against those enormous, horrific odds?
Yep.
Because you have to identify what that is. There is something there about you that brought you here, to be here in this moment in time. Well, and we've all been there. We've all suffered. We've all been through, waded through the horrors, the trauma, the various things that have hit us deliberately, a lot of the deliberate.
Yeah, it was the road that I traveled that put me in the position where I'm in right now, to be so passionate about what it is that I do and how so careful about my words when I speak. Because, like I said, I've seen things that no man or woman should ever have to lay eyes upon. And I honestly believe that we need to pay attention, because that darkness is upon us, and we need to stand together in order to make this thing right. I know it's possible. I know what the prophecies say. I get it. We're going to go through some hard times, but I was told not to fear, and I believe with everything I got. We weren't. My God didn't create any trash, only treasure. Everybody out there is so important in my mind and my heart that I just got to reach out there and hope that something I say will inspire you to believe enough in yourself, to believe in each other, to come together and do the right thing when it's necessary to do the right thing. That's it. It's as simple as that.
Yeah, well, many have lived a life of despair and trauma, and yet they're still here, you know. And I'm not saying that this is easy. You know, we both say we've seen things and been involved in things that you don't even want to know about, you don't want to talk about. And everybody has that story. But I feel you're here for a reason. Otherwise, you would not be here.
Yep.
So I think, you know, my way is we all signed up for this moment in time, this timeline. We are all here for this reason, for what is happening now. This, to me, is the spiritual battle, or the battle for your soul, if you want to talk about it. That's the main thing that I see. It's not about the government. It's not about the movie stars. It's not about how much money you're going to get, or a big house. It's not about that. It's about the spirit, the soul within you.
Yep, it's this that most valuable treasure, which is you.
Yeah.
Well, folks, look, we just got Barry in here, and it's time for us to go around the table, so maybe we let Barry go first, if that's all right with you, Barbara.
Oh, sure.
And
hey, Barry.
So, with that said, Barry, you got any words of wisdom for everybody?
Yeah, don't try to play hockey against 20-year-olds when you're 65 years old.
Oh, I get that.
You'll wake up with pains in your body in places that you had places before, and that's what I did last night. That's why I'm late getting in here, guys.
I can relate to that.
they peppered me. But listen, I was listening in for the last hour here, and it was a great conversation you guys had. Good input from Duke. Always great to have him in the room, yeah. And I really don't know what to add to what's already been said, except for what Barbara just hit on is we are in a spiritual battle. And if you don't see it, then you have your eyes truly closed, because the soul of the human being and our very essence of what it means to be a person is under attack.
Yep.
And it has been for a long time now, and now we see it really ramping up, and we see the effects in society, where our society is so divided, so turned upside down right now that people can't identify what the real problem is. And we really need to call it out, because we are in a spiritual battle. It's for the soul of the human being. And I absolutely agree with what Barbara's saying, that all this political nonsense that's going around us right now is just, it's smoke and mirrors.
Yep.
It really keeps you distracted from seeing what really is going on. So I really start my day every day with prayer now, because I know there's going to be chaotic times coming, but I know there's great times coming too. And that brings peace to my heart. Thanks for having me in for a few minutes, guys.
Well, brother, you was only here for a few minutes, but the quality of the words coming out of your mouth and from your heart is just amazing. So thank you very much for that. So how about you, Barbara?
Yeah, well, it's good, Barry, to hear you, absolutely. And just be careful out there with those kids. So again, thank you, everyone, for being with us today. It's really good to see the activity in the chat room here, and thank you all for participating. And I guess I want to just say, what is most important? Okay, to me, it's my quality of life. It's the joy and the peace that I experience within myself every day. That is the most important thing. Yes, I talk about all the stuff. I do talk about it, because I think we need to know our enemy. I think we need to know what is going on. We need to know the truth and facts. But the most important thing to me is my quality of life and how I am speaking to people, how I am compassionate or kind or friendly or whatever, aware, you know, of others, and how I walk on this Mother Earth at this timeline. That's the most important thing, not all this other stuff. It's there, we have to know, but that's not the key piece for me. The key piece is, am I experiencing inner peace right now? Have I helped someone today? Have I, you know, smiled at someone? Have I lent a hand to someone? Am I in a good space energetically? Because that's a key piece too. What energy am I throwing out there? Because you guys are going to get it. You're going to get the energy. You're going to get my vibration, because you're connected to me and I'm connected to you. So I want to give you the best of me, you know, that I possibly can, and the love and the kindness and compassion that I have. The Creator gave me the ability to give these things, you know. So that's where I'm standing there in that area, in that space. I have to answer to myself and to Creator in the final moments. And I have to say, I lived a good life, and I was kind, and yeah, I made mistakes, but I've learned from my mistakes, and I've done my best here, and I've reached a place where I have that inner peace, because I am connected, so connected to you, Great Spirit Creator, and because you have lifted me up so many times when I've been lost, when I nearly did not make it, and by others' hands, or even by my own hand, and how I am in that space of gratitude and such love for this sacred place, this earth, the Mother Earth and creation in my life. So I give thanks for that every day. Pilamaya Doksha.
Wonderfully spoken. Folks, we got to be strong for ourselves. We got to be strong personally so that we can be strong for others out there. You know, we got to realize that look, if you're looking for a miracle, go take a peek in that mirror. Look yourself right dead in the eye. I'll tell you, you're the miracle you've been waiting for. And all we're trying to do is to make you realize that, to inspire you to go out there and try to better yourself so that you'd be strong enough to better other people. One positive pebble at a time in that pond makes a difference. And when I think about what we're talking about being seed planters and stuff, I think about that Johnny Appleseed story where he's going around planting these apple seeds. He may never live to see the day that he could ever enjoy the fruits of his labor. But what he done for everybody according to that story was so wonderful that now, you know, future generations would have an apple off of that tree when it finally grew to maturity. And I think that at any little tiny increments, of each one of us doing something like that, planting those seeds and those positive messages of hope, I think that that's what's going to make the difference. Laying down those smooth paving stones for our children and our grandchildren and their children to move into a better future than the one we've had to contend with. I don't regret being here. This is an amazing time. We're standing at a crossroads. We have a choice to make. We have the choice of which side to choose between right and wrong. And so I don't regret being here. It pains me in my heart to see people have to go through suffering. I'm kind of like that ornery little kid that used to get in trouble all the time. And so I know what it's like to get in trouble. And so I have mercy. I have remorse. I have feelings of sadness for somebody who else gets themselves in trouble because I know that they're going to have to pay a consequence. And I don't want to see the rest of the world out there repeat the mistakes of the past, and I want to see them to be able to prosper and live happily ever after. I still believe in the dream. As ridiculous as that may sound, and as bad as this world may appear to our eyes, I still believe we have a choice on how we want to guide our future, how we want to make our destiny, whatever we choose to do. If we stand idly by and ignore the writings on the wall, we're bound to repeat the mistakes of the past. A lot of people stood up and they spoke from their heart and they were persecuted for it. And, you know the names, but they were persecuted for it. They tried to do the right thing and they suffered for it. But it was those sufferings from the past and all the sufferings that you have gone through that made you the person that you are. There's this thing out there that they call the Valley of Blessings. And the Valley of Blessings, when explained, is not a pleasant thing. You went through some terrible times, but that formed you into the person that you are today, whether you be really mean or whether you be really loving and caring. I chose the caring side. I chose to take all my frustrations and everything that gave me the hardships back in the day, and I chose to focus that energy to spreading as much peace, hope, and love as I can. So, if you're inspired, share this message. Peace and love.
That ant stood up to me.
Yeah, but we can forget about him.
Yeah, it was just one ant.
Ooh.
One ant.
Yeah, you're right. It's just one ant.
Yeah, boss. They're puny.
Puny? Say, let's pretend this grain is a puny little ant.
Did that hurt?
Nope.
Well, how about this one?
Are you kidding?
Well, how about this? You let one ant stand up to us, then they all might stand up. Those puny little ants outnumber us 100 to 1. And if they ever figure that out, there goes our way of life. It's not about food. It's about keeping those ants in line. That's why we're going back.
Does anybody else want to stay?
What is the dream? The dream is to bring brilliant minds from every nation together to solve the world's problems, one positive pebble at a time. It will be we, the people of the world, that bring about true change, peace, and love to all. Governments never solve any problem, only create them. Wars, starvation, sickness, oppression, financial slavery, death and destruction is what governments do best. When all the military might of nations is used to destroy other nations, the question has to be asked, why not use that military strength for good? Feed the hungry, shelter the homeless, heal the sick, and so forth. true representation of truth, freedom, and justice comes from we the people, and it never came from slick-talking politicians that say whatever they have to get elected, and then regulate away your freedoms. There is no reason to have starving babies in the world of today. Yet, it goes on. There's no reason for wars and sickness, yet it continues. We as the people must stop feeding that beast that is eating humanity alive. We the people of all nations have the power to bring about a literal heaven on earth. You as an individual have more power than you can possibly imagine. You have the power of the spoken word. You have the power of the pen. The power of action, and most of all, the power of love. It is time to use this power to make our world a better place. We are the founding fathers, mothers, sisters, and brothers of our children, and of our children's children's future. Into the future and beyond, what we do today will define the world that they live in tomorrow. Let us, from every nation, come together and make that future a great one.
Old woman! Man, sorry. What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice.
And how'd you get that, eh?
By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma, which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh! How'd you do?
How'd you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
I mean, if I went round saying I was an emperor just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they'd put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help, help, I'm being repressed,
bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh.
Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot!
We're knights of the round table, we dance whenever we're able. We do routine to call the scene, to put work impeccable. We dine well here in Camelot, we eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table, our shows are more mid-able. So many times we give and rise that our quiet unsing able. We're not so mad in Camelot, we sing from the diaphragm alone. Table.
have to push the pram a lot.
No, on second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot. It is a silly place.
Right.
Hey, hey, King Shazir the Terrible. All rise for King Shazir the Terrible and the Knights of the Round Table.